Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Left or right,
we are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, it's Sunday once again. The week just flies by. Wow, can't hardly keep up with it all. Today is May 15th, 2016. And again, I am Mark Kent. I am your host, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. We're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Patriots. Meet everybody. Yeah, I got it right. I had to write it down, though. Reading Patriots. It's kind of hard to change that when you've been saying something else for the last 5 or 6 years. Anyway, Reading Patriots meets every Monday night. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. What a group of extremists. And you've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind, and I highly suggest that you go to soj51.net and become involved. You become a 51ster so you can call up and put pressure on our elected tyrannical officials, I should say. Seems like that's the trend these days is tyranny. You know, you look at the bathroom thing, good grief.
Insane. I can't believe we're even having the conversation. That's what amazes me, that this is even a conversation amongst the people.
Well, I'm curious. What did transgender people do for a bathroom before this law? They just used one.
I just had a very bad thing. I probably shouldn't say that.
They just used a bathroom.
They just used the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In most cases, you just put a lock on the door.
And look at the amount of distraction, deflection, and division that is caused when we're talking about accommodating 0.1% of 1% of our population.
Well, I mean, you know, what it is we have a living God in Washington now. We don't have a president. We have the living God, just like they have an emperor in Japan, and he's the living God, you know. He can do whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants. He can mandate down from high, and everything is good to go because, who cares about states' rights? Who cares about local and community involvement?
Who cares about the people?
What does it matter?
These
guys don't care about us. They don't care about the middle class. They don't care about anything but maintaining power. They care about that 1% at the top that you know has all the money, printing powers, and so forth. So I'll tell you what, it's just getting to the point of ridiculously stupid. There's no media out there at all. They don't cover anything. They cover the most stupid thing. You got FBI investigation on Hillary all week long. They've been interviewing her top aides, mm-hmm. blah 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 blah. But they'll put 20 guys on Trump. To investigate his background. But how many guys did they put on Obama when he was running for president? None? They probably put 10 or 15 guys on to cover up his past activities as opposed to actually exposing him and for what he was or is or who he might be.
We don't even know. That's the problem.
Just cover everything up. It doesn't matter. So that's...
What difference does it make?
So that's the you know, we're going to listen to Greg Hunter here in a minute and the week in review. I'm not sure who's...
not sure what
I'm not
is.
Sure.
Oh, it must be me. It's
Not sure who it is. Look, it's me. Thank
sure
you.
What the heck?
Violated the law of the open web tab.
yeah, you know, I keep them open. I mean, I'm looking at a thing here. you know, on the subject of 47 Clinton friends mysteriously who turned up dead.
I mean, once again, the Clinton names involved in the sentence.
This is from the Lid. Okay, and it's dated May 13th, you know, a couple days ago. And who knew that that many people died around the Clintons? I mean, yeah, there's a couple people. Let's see, James McDougal, you know.
They all committed suicide. What's the matter with
you? Vince Foster.
Vince Foster. I mean, but there's other people that, you know, girlfriends.
Old unsold Colombian cocaine mules.
You know, I got another one here. Mary Mahoney was a former White House intern murdered in July of 1997 at a Starbucks coffee shop in Georgetown, Washington, D.C., just after she was about to go public with her story of sexual harassment by then Bill Clinton in the White House.
Weird.
Just weird, you know, this stuff. You know, so you know, how many reporters have been on Hillary? How many reporters have been reporting anything on the mainstream media about Hillary?
Who?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it. We have no media at all anymore. It is ridiculous.
Well, and what's really horrible and is becoming more and more clear every day and more evident is even those that we have posing as the media are nothing more than propagandists that are actively collaborating to give out a predetermined narrative.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, we're going to key up Greg Hunter's weekly report, and then I want to stop it as we go through it each time. You know, I say stop here and let's talk about it a little bit as we go, because it's just, nothing gets reported anymore except what they want you to hear. And this idea, I mean, the narrative is, I mean, how many people...
The big story is, as I understand, Caitlyn Jenner's going to go back to being a man because of religious beliefs.
Really? I didn't hear that one.
I did see something about that. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So let's see. Our big stories this week are, you know, which bathroom, you know, less than 0.03% of the population is going to use. And
Caitlyn Jenner may go back to being...
Bruce Jenner? Bruce, or are we going to be somebody else?
I don't know.
Bob Jenner?
The athlete formerly known as Jenner? I don't know. I don't know at this point.
You win the decathlon, it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
You know, but
Caitlyn Jenner is proof of don't use steroids, boys and girls. Bad things will happen.
Well, it's also proof that anybody who marries in the Kardashian family is going to go crazy. I mean, if you hang around those girls very long, you'd be crazy. So, it's just unbelievable. But let's go ahead and start, Greg, and then we'll stop him here and there. And then we'll talk during the video here about what he's got going here and in the segments. And go ahead and give it a whirl there, buddy.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up, the WNW 327 for May 13th, 2016. That's right, Friday the 13th. I know it's an unlucky day, but I still feel lucky. I'm lucky to have you guys tuning in. I want to talk to you about the war threats, the simmering and ongoing war threats around the planet. And I want to start in Eastern Europe, in Romania, of all places. Now, there's a brand new missile defense system that just had a big ribbon cutting that was just installed. The U.S. says that it's to protect Europe from an attack from some sort of rogue state. I read between the lines and say, you know, possible Iran missile attack or some other crazy country that may get their hands on, a medium-range missile and fire it into Europe somewhere. Who knows? But Russia, who sits on the border there and in Eastern Europe and Western Russia and Eastern Europe, is upset. They say that it is a direct threat to them, a direct threat to the global and regional security, end quote, a direct threat to global and regional security. Russia also says that this action by the U.S. is destructive action, end quote. Now, one Russian commenter even said that the missile deployment, and I quote, might even accelerate the slippery slope into a nuclear war in a crisis. Another commentator, and listen, nothing happens in the Russian press without the Russians approving of it. They intimated that, Romania got the exact words, but things like, you know, Romania could end up like a glowing ash, and it could end up, not doing very well because of this installing this missile defense shield that the U.S. has paid for and put in Romania. And so it is not a good situation. Tensions are rising, not falling. Also, the Royal Air Force, the RAF, scrambled a couple of jets as some Russian aircraft that weren't, you know, using the right transponders and putting their signals out were basically probing the Baltic states. And so, more tension there. And we have these probes and this incursions and Russian jets, flying close to Navy ships and Russian jets flying close to aircraft that is doing intelligence work that's supposedly in international airspace. Very tense situation right now. That's just that. Meanwhile, there's a new face-off in the South China Sea. As if we don't have enough problems, it's between China and the U.S. Navy. U.S. says China's making, quote, excessive maritime claims. You're talking about building these islands in the South China Sea. It's hundreds of miles from the mainland coast, and yet China says that's their property, even though these islands are in this area in the South China Sea, 600-some-odd square miles, disputed territory between China and Japan and the Philippines and Vietnam, all disputing this area. The area is also very important because there are major shipping lanes there. And, the U.S. Says, talks about this excessive international, the excessive maritime claims. And China says that, building its islands is just fine. And it says the presence of U.S. naval ships, represents or basically threatens its sovereignty. It also says navigation, this is China talking, navigation is not being interfered with. The U.S. sent a guided missile destroyer within 12 nautical miles of China's disputed man-made islands. China says U.S. action was, and here we have it again, a, quote, threat to peace, end quote. Also, Australia has sent a naval ship to back up the U.S. So this is getting, tense. That doesn't mean that war is imminent. It's going to break out, over the weekend, but it's tense. And that you can find that all over the planet. Let's move on over to Iraq. ISIS has been on a bombing campaign just this past week. I think they've set off three big bombs. One bomb that was in a vehicle killed 80 people and wounded dozens and dozens of more people. ISIS is definitely taking responsibility and claiming that it did do the bombings. Now, ISIS has lost some territory, lost some ground in the last few months. And this is how ISIS is responding. There is no end to the bloodshed there as well. This is just there's just war and rumors of war. It seems to look to me all around the planet. And none of it looks like it's on the glide path to settling down, to being settled, to be put on the back burner, to simmer down. So everything is boiling hotter and hotter and hotter. Until, I guess, the frog will boil out of the pot at one point. On the economic front, things are not getting better. In fact, all the headlines seem to show things are getting worse. And, it's bad when it starts bubbling out in the mainstream press. And here's just a set of headlines I got from Zero Hedge. I like Zero Hedge. I think they do a good job. But, this is a guy by the name of Milton Berg, big shot financier, money manager, a financial guy. He said, we are on the cusp of a 30-year bear market. Breathe that in, folks. This is not going to get people to buy stocks and bonds. He's worried about stocks and bonds, this Milton Berg. And that is, this week, Nordstrom plummets after reporting terrible earnings and slashing guidance. Here's another Apple headline, very negative. Apple tumbles after a report of 70 to 80% plunge in iPhone chip shipments. And we're not talking about the iPhone 6. We're talking about the spanking brand new iPhone 7. That the chip shipments are off 70 to 80%. What does that tell you about future sales, future book of business? And this is what it looks like in Venezuela, a socialist country. Margaret Thatcher, the former prime minister of UK, famously said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Well, here's what it looks like when you run out of other people's money. Raw Venezuela, that's the title. Looter burned alive while a street filled with people killing animals for food. That's how bad.
Well, let's stop it there and talk about that a little bit. I mean, we have no media. I mean, people are running around the streets in Venezuela looking for food. You know, I mean, it's not that they're running out of other people's money. They're running out of their own food.
Food, yeah. Water, essential.
Yeah, because everything. This whole economic lie about recovery is exactly that. And, I mean, you know, so at what layer, you know, we got layer upon layer of lies from the media or layer upon layer of complete blackouts of information, you know. It's unbelievable the amount of information that, I mean, does anybody pay attention to anything on the news anymore?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I don't pay attention to the mainstream media anymore.
Well, that's it. They're becoming irrelevant.
Because I want some news.
Yeah, they don't tell you anything. I mean, they tell you what maybe is going on locally and, oh, gee, they're having
the strawberry festival.
Yeah,
they don't get that right half the time.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so they are putting themselves out of business. Go ahead and keep going with this, and then we'll go to a break after the next segment here. Go ahead.
It is getting. And if you look around the globe, and you look at places like, Puerto Rico, now, I don't think they're basically setting fire in the streets or eating animals just yet, but they're in the process of defaulting on their debt. Now, either the Fed or somebody prints a ton of money or gives them a ton of money, or they're going to have to cut way back. They default on that debt. That's a big problem. That's the same thing with a municipality like Detroit. You know, look what happens when Detroit, they can't just go down to the basement at City Hall and print some money. Say, and I talked to my friend Gregory Manorino, and he says, you know, this is a terrible economy. This is what he said, a Hoover-Bama economy. And, you know, Herbert Hoover was the last president that had less than 3% growth while he was president. Manorino points out, says, well, Obama's the first president since Herbert Hoover, and of course he was the Depression president. It's all started under his administration. He's the first president that's had 3%, sub 3% growth. And I said, wow, well, back in Hoover's day, you could believe the numbers. And you know, now, you know, 3%, is it really 3% or is it 0% or is it negative percent? If you factor in real inflation, if you do the numbers correctly, like John Williams would do. And then Manorino tells me, well, you know, the money was real back then, too. And he says, hey, and, you know, the bread lines would be much longer. I mean, what do you think food stamps are? Do you imagine if we had to put 40, 45 or 46 million people in line to buy food? That wouldn't be a good visual. I thought, wow, good idea. Also, Manorino says that, you know, you saw the reports about how people are leaving the 10 biggest cities in droves. They are leaving. He says, I think this is just the beginning of the end of the middle class. And you know what? I don't care what they say about the middle class. They don't care about you. They don't care about the poor. They don't care about the middle class, the upper middle class. All they care about is the very top. That's all they care about. They say they care about the middle class, and then we have Obamacare, which incidentally, the Obama administration just lost a second big ruling in the case that was in federal court. The judge just ruled, said you can't give money to people to buy Obamacare insurance. You can't fund people without Congress weighing in. And the Republicans, under John Boehner, they started this lawsuit and said, hey, you're overstepping your bounds. You are doing the function of Congress. You are basically paying for things without running it through Congress and getting the consent of Congress. And they've won round two. Of course, the mainstream press said, well, it'll be overturned. Well, you listen, that's the second case that the Republicans have won. That makes an overturn on appeal gets much more difficult. Every time the case goes up, overturns on appeal get much more difficult. And incidentally, Carl Denninger came on here years ago and said Obamacare is going to kill the economy. It's going to be a boat anchor on the economy. And sure enough, he's right. I had a huge increase in 2016, as many people did. My insurance now has doubled since President Obama took office, and they're talking about.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I seen this year on the tax returns penalties as high as $7,000. I guess we didn't hear about that one in the discourse when they were passing Obamacare. You know, there's three new lines on the tax form on the 1040 on the second page. There's a premium tax care credit where you get a credit. And then there's the premium tax care recapture where you owe them on the credit that they gave you. And then there's also the penalty.
Yep.
So you got three ways that they're going to either redistribute the money to you, take the money from you, or just charge you a penalty because you didn't have it in the first place.
Or all three.
Well, you can't do all three. You can't do all three. It's like you either get the penalty.
They try to.
Or you get it back, or they charge you for getting a or, you know, the worst case scenarios is where the guys have the premium tax. They go in and they're getting ready to retire, and, you know, they got not much income. This is an actual case. And so that, you know, they go on the Obamacare, and you know, he guy pays $500 a month, and they supplement him $500 a month for his insurance policy. And then, you know, during the course of the year, he kind of forgets about all this stuff, and you know, his broker sells some stock on him. And so he was making, you know, $20,000 a year or whatever up to that point. His broker sells some stock. You know, he's got some stock for his retirement. That's his retirement for the long term. And so he gets a little a capital gain on the stock, and it kicks him up over the bracket of where he's supposed to be earning his income in order to get these tax supplements. Well, what that did is kicked in a $7,000 penalty on him. And so here's a guy making, you know, an average of $14,000 to $20,000 a year, you know, off of Social Security and his little retirement package that he has, you know, lives up in a rural county. And then all of a sudden he gets hit with a $7,000. His tax will turn to $8,000, because, and he didn't have, he had the insurance. He paid for the insurance. You know, $500 out of pocket, never used the insurance, and got an $8,000 penalty on top of that.
Because of his income being too high.
Because his income shot up.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he went out and had some success at a stock sale.
With his own money.
So how's that work? So let's see. How's that feel? Let's see. I get insurance I don't want. I pay for insurance I don't need. I don't use the insurance, and now I owe you $7,000 to $8,000 for having the insurance that you forced me to have in the first place. And things are going to start going worse than that. The penalties are going to start doubling this next year, people.
And then I had a person I was talking with the other day about taxes. She didn't have the care, didn't buy the care, sent her tax return in, and now they're saying, we show that you had the care, so we're going to keep your money and penalize you because your income isn't what we thought it should be.
Yeah, it's just
that's crazy.
This whole thing is a boondoggle. And there's more to come. Go ahead and keep going through here, and then on the maybe we should go to a break now, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll keep going with Greg here, and to the end of this segment. So, go ahead and key it up. And
this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love, grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtledoves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to see the
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. online at 5starbank.com. 5-Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We all know who that song's about.
Cowboys are special.
Well, you know, after playing the tune going out onto the break, I'd like to teach the world to sing. I'm not sure whether a Coke or suicide is appropriate.
kind of the same,
maybe
aren't they?
Maybe a Coke and have suicide. Yeah, have a Coke and drink suicide. Here you go. You know, that whole thing, that whole tree-hugging crap, sounds good. Who doesn't want peace? But we live in a world of corrupt, evil politicians.
Now you're going to pick on the earth muffins?
The earth mushrooms?
That's what I was...
Terrible.
The earth muffins. Oh, boy. Okay, so let's get back here to Greg Hunter and finish this out. Before I do, I have a quote here from Rally Sally. The more corrupt the state, the more numerous the laws. And that's from Rome, and that's, I think it's Tacitus. Maybe that's where the word, you know, having tact comes from. But
yeah, it's Tacitus.
Tacitus, yeah. So evidently they knew all about this back in Rome, corruption.
Well, that goes very close to one of my favorite sayings from Thomas Paine that says you can judge the morality of a society by the amount of laws they require.
Well, there you go. And we've got some real problems, you know, with the laws that are being passed. Oh, I mean, we're being hammered into submission is really what's going on here from on high. You know, the executive branch is not supposed to write laws, not supposed to change laws. The power of the purse is supposed to be with Congress. This guy just runs roughshod. I mean, this whole bathroom thing is not law. It's not even a color of law. It's an executive order that you can just absolutely ignore at the state level, but then they'll pull your funding. So why should we fund them in the first place?
Well, that's what they're doing now with states that are threatening to ignore the transgender bathroom law. The president used the Department of Justice to directly threaten the funds to feed school children.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for the states to wake up and pull the heroin needle of federal cash out of your arm and stand up and reclaim your sovereignty.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to be in the education system anyway. Hello?
Yeah. And that's why a central bank printing the money corrupts everything because, you know, what happens is you send all your money, whatever the shortfall is, they print it out and send it back and make sure that, you know, they can pull your strings anytime they feel like it, you know, whether it's over drugs or transgender bathrooms or take your pick. I mean, there's so many.
Again, look at the essence of once you boil away all of the rhetoric and all the divisiveness around transgender bathrooms, which is exactly what it was intended and designed to do. We're talking about 0.1% of our population. This is a problem this is a solution in search of a problem.
You know, and
it's
not
created, it's manufactured, and it's working implicitly to use as a carrot and stick method by the federal government.
It's a distraction, too. It's a distraction. It's a complete distraction from what's really going on in the country. It's a complete distraction from the facts and the real news. I mean, who gives a crap about this, quite frankly, myself, other than the fact is that the executive branch is completely out of control? Well, we knew that already. And let's all fight amongst ourselves while they just keep
going.
Well,
let's create chaos amongst the people.
That's exactly what this law was intended to do,
and
what it's done. And here we have a national fight that is having national ramifications on how we conduct ourselves. And at the end of the day, we're talking about 0.1% of the population.
It's not even that. It's like
0.03. Wait, what did transgendered people do before the bathroom law? Had they been holding it this long? It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Let's go ahead and play some more Greg here.
Another big increase in 2017. And then meanwhile, all these insurance companies are either dropping out or the exchanges are going bankrupt. They're losing, tens of millions, if not billions of dollars with this scam. Thank you, Jonathan Gruber, for the scam, the lie, the huge concocted lie by Democratic leadership. Now, we know it was a huge lie by Democratic leadership. Obamacare, and it's ruining the economy. It's one of the many things ruining the economy. Speaking of the nasty mainstream press, let me say this, stupid mainstream press. Ben Rhodes, you know, a top White House advisor, is talking about how he spooked, the press and basically made an echo chamber and wrote the narrative, for the Iran nuclear deal, which is no deal, as I predicted more than a year ago there would be no deal, and without any signatures, there's no deal. Kerry didn't even understand. He was doing a military application to curtail its military application for its nuclear program, and when it came time, and I heard him say this, came time in Congress for him to explain how they're going to be inspecting the nuclear sites, he said, oh, I don't have it. That's a side deal. I thought that was a main deal. I don't have anything to do with that. The UN's doing that. Scam. And now we have Ben Rhodes basically saying, yeah, they wrote a false narrative, which the White House denies. But it's a scam. Where's the paperwork? No signatures, no paperwork. The Secretary of State looks like a buffoon when he doesn't even understand the main point was a curtailment of the military programs. I don't know anything about that. Scam, because it was a scam. And now you have Ben Rhodes pulling a Jonathan Gruber and saying, you're so proud of how he scammed the press. And the press is only bad because they look buffoonish. They look as buffoonish as John Kerry because they got fed, the spoonfuls of absolutely BS. And they printed it, and now they look like the lapdogs that they are. And they are lapdogs. What did the president say at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Thank you for being by my side. He should have been making jokes about, whoo, you guys are tough on me, but, oh, no, thank you for helping me, or whatever he said. Thank you for standing by my side. Standing by your side. And now this. So now we have the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos. He's a Democratic donor. And now we have the Washington Post, which is another lopsided, far-left, wackadoodle, unfair, biased, not even a news organization, just a spin organization. Here we have Woodward, Woodward Bernstein fame. Washington Post assigns 20 reporters to dig into Trump's past. Oh, yeah. 20 reporters to dig into Trump's past. So, how much do you think they're going to find on Donald Trump, who's been a public figure just about since he's, 20? How much dirt do you think they're going to find? And so they have a maybe story, a fantasy story, this one, and then the real story of the Democratic frontrunner. I could not make this up, folks. Democratic frontrunner under an FBI, active FBI investigation, whose top aides, Aberdeen and Mills, were just interviewed by the FBI. Silence! Cheryl Mills had to get up and leave. She was so flustered from the interview. It's against the law to lie in an interview with the FBI, in an interrogation. It's against the law. This criminal investigation, and even Hillary Clinton herself, is going to be interviewed, and you think they put a few reporters on that? They have something on that every day? Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. They ignore that. They're going to assign 20 people to dig into Donald Trump. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I've been complaining about how the USA Today has been ignoring the Hillary Clinton story, and here it is. Little story right here, just so they can say, we did it. FBI probe on the Clintons has no external deadline. In other words, James Comey, the head of the FBI, is telling people that nobody's going to push me. I'm going to do this investigation. He also said he's not going to give anybody any special treatment, so we'll see. People like Larry Nichols says they won't indict her, but I don't know, folks. Ponder this. I mean, she just lost in West Virginia, one of the bluest of blue states. She won back in 08, beat Obama there. Now she loses to Bernie Sanders by a wide margin. She lost every county in West Virginia. She won every county in 2008. She lost every county to Bernie Sanders in 2016. She won it back in 08. You tell me how weak she is coming off. And now the Clinton campaign is saying, well, we might not win any other primaries. You think the Democrats are feeling good about Hill? Do you think the Democrats are feeling good about her? And they have it rigged with the super rigging delegates to just give her votes, even though she didn't earn them. I mean, the race is tight compared to what Trump is doing. He's trumping everybody. There's only been really two people in the campaign. Yeah, there's a few others earlier, but it was just her and Sanders. Trump's had all kinds of contenders splitting the vote. So, they may either allow some of the indictments to go through. I mean, she had a private server under the Espionage Act. If that is in gross negligence, I don't know what is. You know, I called USA Today and said and told them, and this is before this headline came out, I called up the executive assistant of the president. And I said, you know how biased you guys look? And I quoted time after time after time, said, you know, you guys didn't bother doing the Cheryl Mills being interviewed, Huma Abedin being interviewed. At the time, I don't think Mills is interviewed, but Abedin. You didn't cover the story of the guy that got, from the Department of Justice, immunity, the person that set up the server? You don't think that's a story? You don't think you should be having teams of people covering the Democratic front runner under an FBI investigation? I don't think that's ever happened before. That's not a story. But 20 people on Trump for an imaginary story, Washington Post. Oh, yeah. Let's go find some dirt. Yeah. Hey, Woodward, you think that's fair? Really? You think that's unbiased? So I got talking to the guy, and I mentioned, you know, you had the Guccifer. This is last week. I didn't have a weekly news wrap-up because I had Larry Nichols, and I just let that run. But last week, so I call up and said, you know, you had the Guccifer story. This is the guy extradited to the U.S. You know, NBC sat on the Guccifer story, the guy that hacked into Hillary Clinton's server. He's bragging about how easy it was to hack into the server and how he hacked in there and found, 10 other people and their IP addresses that have also hacked into it. Tell me that the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and the Europeans and anybody else didn't have access to all that information. And remember, folks, Hillary Clinton sits in the middle. She interacts with the president, the Pentagon, the NSA, the CIA, all of her offices around the world, the 70,000 employees. The unbelievable amount of information passing in and out of this position. How is that not gross negligence? Nobody had a clearance. Just that part. Forget about everything else. And I've talked to the USA Today guy and saying, you know, you guys go out of your way time after time after time after time. I said, here's an example. I said, Indiana, Donald Trump kills the competition. He basically secures the nomination by winning. And what do you guys do the next day? You put the loser up. You put Ted Cruz up. And where's Donald Trump? Where do you put Donald Trump? I said a little.
I want to go back here to what this email thing with Hillary a little bit. You know, Hillary said that these emails, the 70,000 emails, were to her husband and her family and all of that stuff. But, you know, Bill's been saying for years he doesn't use email.
Yeah.
I guess she just forgot that.
Maybe it was a different husband. And
either that or she can't remember which lie she told when she told it. So there's more and more coming out on this. We're going to run a little segment later on with Napolitano on this, but it's getting to the point where, like I said before, if nothing sticks here to Hillary, we don't have a rule of law anymore. It's a survival of the fittest, and there's no press to watchdog them anymore. Because they're all in the tank, except for the anything on the mainstream media. They don't talk much about this, they've become irrelevant. I mean, really, everybody's getting their news off the internet anymore, and you have to vet that. You can't believe anything anywhere, so you got to check everything out. But it sure has made it difficult to actually expose these people when they're over there playing the girl from Epony. You feel like you're in a computer or a elevator, you know, with the music playing around you, and it's all computer controlled. So I don't know.
Mm. And really, is the American public and its apathy a product of the media? Is it a symptom of the media, or is the media a symptom of the American people and their apathy?
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
I see it as almost as a self-sustaining cycle. The people grow apathetic. The news reports apathetic news. The people grow more apathetic.
Well, and I think we're going to end up like Venezuela here pretty quick.
Well, that's a terrifying thought, because 3 days ago Venezuela said there was about 15 days left of food in the country, and that's at bare minimum levels.
What's a terrifying thought that our Congress up there is doing nothing really with Hillary or any of the other ones that are breaking the law or the Constitution?
Well, the courts, FBI. Well, they're, you know, Napolitano's coming back saying that, you know, they've discovered that, if they refer this to the DOJ, the DOJ, all the guys in the key positions have donated up to $75,000 to Hillary's campaign.
Well, I mean, who...
I guess that wasn't news.
Who would be able to, in good conscience, conduct that prosecution without having to recuse themselves?
Well,
who is there?
I don't know.
Is Ken Starr still around?
Well, maybe we need an independent counsel. I don't know. All I know is that the watchdog, the lapdog, should be all over this story. And, you know, they just give everybody... It's like the Obama, you know, his economic policies. You know, we'll be lucky to get any growth at all. It's probably negative growth at this point. And, you know, there hasn't been a president in the history of the country that's had less than 3% growth. And they're still passing this guy off like he's a savior of the economy.
It's not even entirely just liberal buyers. You know, there's quote-unquote conservatives that, get the kid gloves treatment from news outlets and things like that. It's just as bad on both sides.
It's about the narrative. It's about the narrative. It really is.
It's designed, it's premeditated, and it's no longer news, it's propaganda.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, see, the guy wins in Indiana, Trump, and they post Cruz up there, the loser, and not Trump.
Yeah. And it should be scary to any American out there to what's going on with the news outlet and everything else in our country. But that ought to be scary when they're showing this propaganda all over everywhere.
Well,
you need to search out the answers.
As Greg Hunter was discussing earlier, most Americans are not even aware of this. But the news media under Ben Rhodes in the White House got caught actively creating and lying about the narrative on the Iranian missile deal. They knew none of the facts they were reporting was true. They knew none of the narrative was true. Actively knew and created an echo chamber where they took members of the media and isolated them to teach them and tell them this is what you report and this is how you will report it.
And Greg Hunter's been saying for months and months. There's no deal with Iran. There's not even a signed document. No. It's and we gave them $150 billion. You know, at what point in time, you know, do you call a spade a spade? At what point in time does, you know, do you come to the conclusion of aiding and abetting? At what point in time do you come to the conclusion that Obama's a Muslim? I mean, you know, at what point in time?
At what time do you realize that your Congress, that is supposed to be one of your checks and balances, no longer sees itself subservient to the Constitution or to American people or American law or American sovereignty, because they see themselves as an integral part of a larger world organization subject to international treaty and law?
Right. Right, and I got a little segment here that we can talk about too with the TPP. TTIP.
Real quick, because this will be pertinent later too. Echo chamber, which is what Ben Rhodes and the media created for the Iranian deal, and we're seeing examples of echo chambers in other instances. But echo chamber in media, an echo chamber is a situation in which information, ideas, or beliefs are amplified or reinforced by transmission and repetition inside an enclosed system where different or competing views are censored, disallowed, or otherwise underrepresented.
Right. Anything that contradicts the narrative gets eliminated.
Absolutely.
And that's what they're doing. And hopefully we're going to have a guest here the next...
after the top of the hour. About 10:15.
And we're going to talk about what happened up there in Oregon a little bit. And that's, you know, referring to an article there on the Shasta Lantern. And it's really true. The narrative is the most important story here. And that's why we're being channeled into this subservient government mindset. Because we're not getting any alternative news. I mean, you know, people only choose what they know about. They can't choose an alternative if none is presented. And so that's kind of what's been happening. That's being broken down through the internet because people are just not listening anymore. The papers are going under. The news media is going under because who cares what they have to say anymore? Any thinking person realizes it's all BS.
Yep. It is. It's the statist narrative.
There you have it. So go ahead and keep going on with Greg. We'll get close to the top of the hour, and we'll go out to break and come back, and there you go.
2x2 picture right underneath there. He just knocked out everybody, and are you guys trying to sell papers? I said, this is too stupid to be stupid. You're trying to say the least you can, so you got the loser up? Are you trying to sell papers by putting the loser up? And I kid you not. The executive's assistant to the president of the company says, yeah, we got a lot of criticism about that. They're digging their own grave. The mainstream press is more worried about propelling a political idea than selling newspapers and getting clicks on their website, and all these people working for these stooges at the top, all these people are going to be out of jobs. They are digging their own graves. They are on the path. They are on the way to the dustbin of history. They are on the path to total irrelevance. Total irrelevance. I couldn't believe the executive assistant to the president of the company said, "Yeah, I know. We got a lot of criticism about that. Outrageous. Really, totally outrageous. Don't believe anything you hear unless you independently check it from the mainstream media. And don't think that all the news is being reported if you read the USA Today and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, because it's not. One last thing. I'm going to be changing things up a little bit. I'm going to try to drop some big interviews, and if I get a big interview and something is very compelling like Larry Nichols or Rob Kirby or something like that, I'm going to opt not to do the weekly news wrap-up. I know a lot of you folks thought there's something happened to me or there's something wrong. I wasn't sick. Nothing happened to me. Nobody tried to hurt me. I just wanted to let a big interview breathe and run. And I did that with Larry Nichols, and I did that with Rob Kirby, and I'll likely do it again, but not this week. This week, I have another big interview, but here's the weekly news wrap-up, and I'm promoting the Gorilla Economist, who's going to talk about martial law and how he thinks that's a myth. He's going to talk about, the big banks and the economy and what the triggers are to cause a collapse, and that it's real. The Gorilla Economist at RogueMoney.net will be the early Sunday release. I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you so much for supporting me with your comments and donations. Those donations help us out. Remember, fear not.
Thanks, Greg. Man, I'll tell you what, I listened to that this morning, and I kind of had to play it because he covers a lot of topics, and we're talking a lot about how the press is so in the tank and the echo chambers, like you say, and how we're not getting the news that we should be getting. And so at what point in time do we realize, you know, for example, on the economic front, you know, is Obama Muslim? Does he have to come out and say it in order for it to be a fact? I mean,
even if he does, people still aren't waking up to the fact of what's going on up there.
Do you have to actually go to the store and see the shelves empty before you realize the economy's failing? At what point in time does the general public wake up, and does the propagandish news agencies, mass media, whatever you want to call these bozos, do they ever print the truth?
Maybe once in a while.
So, yeah, I don't know. So it's very discouraging. At the same time, like I say, there's purity in suffering, and it initiates clarity of thought. And I think that's what we're going to have is that you've got to get slapped around enough. You know, you go down to Venezuela, and all of a sudden, hey, you know, when you can't feed your kids and you're out there hunting the streets for cats and dogs, at that point, do you realize that the government's lying to you?
Yeah, but we got a lot of that going on in our own country as we speak.
It's going to get worse.
You know, it's not like it's unheard of in this country for that to be happening.
Well,
there's a lot of people in the street.
It's like Greg
going
said,
hungry.
These guys don't care about the middle class. And you got these guys that are getting paid off, whether it's in the government or the media. You know, they're sitting fat, and you know they don't have to worry about a can of tuna doubling in price
or tumors.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things we've been talking about with the Fukushima thing. We just had another mass kill wash up on our beach.
I saw that, the red crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
El Nino did that. That bloody algae bloom that's
just
running around the ocean on a killing spree.
I think if you're eating seafood out of the Pacific right now, I think you're kind of an idiot.
Well, why didn't El Nino kill all the fish in the ocean in 96 when we had it?
Because it was different.
I think you got to be careful no matter where you're getting your fish from eating it right now, because there's so much going on with that stuff I'm telling.
Your food in general.
Yeah, I'm just.
What point does the common sense of the American people, the natural skepticism of a classic American, kick in and go, wait a minute, that doesn't even make sense? They eat it up with a spoon. Why? Is it because it's easy? Is it because they don't want to see the truth?
It's easier to put your head in the sand, I guess, and pretend it's not happening, because then you don't have to wake up and
so
do
many
it.
Of them don't.
We used to be that kind of people.
But we fell asleep. We didn't do what we were supposed to do. Unfortunately, that's where
Maybe there needs to be a culling of the herd. I don't know.
You know? They're all happy having their technology and playing and, you know, having a good time and getting stuff free and not having to think about it.
Well, I think that may be rapidly approaching as a thing of the past, because if you look at the current generation in charge, the baby boomers, who presided over the largest transfer of wealth in the history of humankind after World War II, what their parents gave to them was by far the largest transfer of wealth and safety ever known to people, and they've thrown it away. The house is crumbling, the wallpaper's peeling, the bill collectors are beating down the door, the phone's off, you know, everybody in the house is passed out on drugs.
Hey, think if they had to line up 43 million people for food stamps like they used to do back in the old soup kitchens.
Like, yeah. For bread and soup.
Yeah, now they just send it out to the mail, so they don't have to actually show up and stand in line.
Yeah, can you imagine the imagery of 50 million people once a month in line for their
food? Well, speaking of food stamps, I have to say this. I stopped at the gas station the other day to get gas, and there's a lady in front of me, and she had one of those EBT cards.
That's food stamps. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That you have now for food stamps.
Yeah.
Anyway, she got irate with the cashier because she could not buy scratch tickets with the cash that was on her EBT card. It was like, really, lady? Really? And she's just hammering this young girl behind the counter that's working.
That's why I said
it. You know, it's like unreal.
What happened to the days when you went down to the office and your welfare was a white can that just said peanut butter on it?
Well, I think there's got to be a culling of the herd. I believe that people have to have a wake-up call of reality, and that it's coming hard and fast whether they want to believe it or not. And I think that's the only thing that's going to bring back clarity of thought.
Oh, we're at the top of the hour. Please stay with us. We've got more action coming this next hour. We got a good a guest coming on. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
It was long ago. Katie was lovely. She was the queen of my night. Then the darkness with the radio playing low.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The House Judiciary Committee will hold two hearings into alleged misconduct by the IRS commissioner.
The first hearing on May 24th will look into a House Oversight Committee report that accused John Koskinen of making false statements during sworn congressional testimony. It also accused him of lying about former official Lois Lerner's emails and alleges Koskinen's failure to comply with a subpoena led to the destruction of key evidence. The second hearing, scheduled for June, will look into whether further congressional action is warranted that could include a call by Utah's Jason Chaffetz to conduct impeachment proceedings.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. The Obama administration's diplomatic point man in the international fight against ISIS says the terrorists have been losing control over territory and that the, quote, perverse caliphate is shrinking. Brent McGurk told a news conference in Jordan today the tide is turning against ISIS, both online and on the battlefield. McGurk is the presidential envoy to the 66-member anti-Islamic State coalition. An apology from Russia for doping amongst its athletes, Connie Lawn reports.
The Russian sports minister claims his government was deceived by some athletes in past Olympics. He says that is not what Russia is about and promises it will not happen again. He wants the Russian teams to be allowed to compete in the Rio Games in 3 months. Doping scandals have been a persistent problem in many sports over the years, but the problem has been especially intense in the highly competitive communist countries. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
President Obama to mark the 250th anniversary of Rutgers University today by delivering the commencement address. Both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are scheduled to be at graduation ceremonies at the University of Pennsylvania. They won't be speaking, though. They have relatives graduating. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Dominicans face a dizzying array of choices today in one of the most complex votes in recent history, with eight candidates for president, all 222 members of Congress up for re-election, and thousands of people vying for local offices around the country. For many voters, it amounts to a referendum on whether to let President Danilo Medina's Democratic Liberation Party, or PLD, extend its political dominance after winning four of the last five presidential elections and controlling both the Senate and the Chamber of Deputies for a decade. Mexican authorities have issued a new smog alert for the capital after ozone levels have risen to above 150% of acceptable limits. It's the fourth time this year that Mexico City has seen such an alert, which triggers additional restrictions on automobile usage. Today, 20% of vehicles will be barred from the streets of the capital and surrounding suburbs. If conditions don't improve, it'll increase to 40% tomorrow. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Online shopping is reaching such critical mass with American households that many of the icons of the traditional mall face an uncertain future.
A government report suggests a modestly healthy consumer, with retail sales up 1.3% in April. Americans are eating out more at restaurants, they're buying more cars, but the main beneficiaries of spending in the past year have been Amazon, eBay, and other internet giants. Spending at these non-store retailers shot up 10.7% from a year ago, in a week when earnings reports showed disturbing drop-offs at Macy's, Kohl's, Nordstrom, and JCPenney. Shoppers who once crowded malls are now ordering on phones, computers, and tablets, siphoning sales from physical stores, which face growing pressure to reinvent their businesses. Heath Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, May the 15th. It's a birthday for a number of notable people, including former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. She's 79 years old today. Actor Chaz Palminteri is 64. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio, second hour. We were having a pretty lively discussion, you know, on this whole campaign with Trump and Hillary, and you know, and the narrative that Hillary, you know, Trump can't beat Hillary. You know, if they even marginally start pulling up stuff on Hillary, I mean, there's so much corruption and crap, and you know, Bill.
It's gone on for years and years.
I mean, the people. You know, we talked a little bit about the people dying, but what about all the women that, you know, sexual problems? You know, the people got paid off. You know, Paula Jones got a $900 million settlement. You know, instead of going to court. I mean, you got Whitewater. You got the Rose Law Firm. Destruction of those records back then. You got Benghazi.
Arkansas. The cocaine running.
How can you not? I mean,
she got fired from the Department of Justice for stealing documents during the Watergate investigation.
Yeah, she got fired from the Watergate thing. I mean, at what point in time do you go, this woman is so screwed up that it's, how could you possibly even vote for her? Period. I don't know how Trump can lose. And he's not going to be like Romney where, oh, gee, I don't want to talk about Benghazi anymore because that wouldn't be professional.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got
we have our guest on the line. We have John, and I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name.
Sepulveda, I believe.
Sepulveda.
There you go.
Maybe you can...
Did we get that right, John?
It's close enough. It's a hard last name to say. Very difficult.
Okay, and maybe you could give us a little brief background on who you are. I believe you're currently with Oregon Public Broadcasting, used to work for CNN.
Yeah, I should say that all the comments I make are my own. They don't belong to any employer or past employer. But yes, I worked for CNN. I was a national correspondent, and I covered Europe as well. Now I am based in Portland.
Okay. And the reason that we have you on today is concerning the videos that were recently released of a Oregon territorial society of journalists?
Well, yeah, so it's called the Society of Professional Journalists, which I'm a member of, and I actually encourage them, because I do stand by my remarks. We say Oregon Territory, it's more so that we can be inclusive to folks in Idaho or maybe people who are in Southwest Washington that can't commute up to Seattle. So that's why we call it the Oregon Territory, and that's from the old, like, 1848 designation of what the Oregon Territory was. But it's mainly a region. It doesn't mean that we're affiliated with the state or anything like that.
Okay. And the concerns that we have in some of the things is, watching the video, it seemed like the narrative that was presented there was very derogatory, very one-sided, and was with the intention of not necessarily reporting facts, but designing a narrative surrounding the Malheur occupation. What would you say to that?
Well, I think there are a couple important things to understand. The first is that while I was covering Malheur, I didn't have that opinion formed. So, you know, I presented the facts as they came. And unfortunately, the facts changed quite a bit because it would be pretty often that we were either, you know, misled or lied to, and that was pretty regular. There were a couple people who didn't, Lavoie Finicum being one of them. Lavoie always shot straight with me. He always, you know, told me the truth of what was going on or what he believed the facts to be, but there were definitely some other people who did not do that. And I want to make it also clear that after I became, you know, long before I made these comments, I had become targeted by members of the Patriot Movement. These are people who threatened my girlfriend. These are people who, you know, threatened me. And I didn't know these people. I didn't report any harm on them. So I asked to be taken off the story. Once I was taken off the story, which, you know, is before I made those comments, I started forming my own opinions. And one of them was that I don't believe Ammon Bundy to be somebody who left the community in better shape than he found it. I believe he's somebody who misled the community. I believe he's somebody who threatened officers' lives. I personally heard him talking to one of his lieutenants about kidnapping somebody. I do not think that he's a good person. And I stand by those comments that I made because of the facts that I saw on the ground. And the last thing I'll say is I was very upset with Ammon Bundy for the fact that he let children onto that compound. I'm a father of two children, and it just really, really bothered me that he let children not only stay at the compound, like visit him at the compound during daylight hours, but actually stay overnight. So on one hand, he was complaining and concerned that the FBI and that other people might raid the compound at any time. And then he turns around and lets kids there in a place he was telling everybody was dangerous. I thought that was shameful to put kids in harm's way. So I have very strong feelings about Ammon Bundy, but that doesn't necessarily reflect the cause or the complaints about the federal government. That just reflects my own unhappiness and unease with Ammon Bundy.
Well, can I ask, too, are you still reporting any stories, follow-up to the Malheur regarding
nope.
the court cases
no.
or anything?
So part of the reason I started speaking my mind was because, I asked, after it became clear that I was going to be threatened and harassed by people who didn't like my reporting, I asked to be taken off, which was about a month and a half before I made those comments. So, and again, I'm free to speak just as any other citizen, but I think one of the things that has been concerning to me is that people think, oh, well, I was biased going into this, and that's why my reporting showed what it did, and here's evidence of that. And that's not what happened at all. My reporting informed my decision to, and now I would say very much that I am biased, and I will not be reporting on Ammon Bundy.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, the reason that we invited you here. It is for the free opportunity that is afforded all Americans to explain themselves, to have that free speech.
My question is that you say you don't condone what the federal government was doing, but, you know, it's our understanding that the federal government, the BLM specifically, had been threatening these ranchers for quite some time, and they were getting angry. Are you standing by the federal government with their stance and what they did? Do you think what they did was proper, correct, and legal? You know, so on the other side of the coin here, you know, was the government justified in its actions?
Sure. First of all, when you say ranchers, do you mean Dwight and Stephen Hammond, or are you talking about Clive and Bundy?
I'm talking about ranchers in general in the western states have been threatened by the
sure.
BLM across the board, whether it was Lavoie Finicum, whether it was Bundy. There's the recent court case of the guy up in Wyoming where the EPA came after his pond through the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, there's just
sure.
been a trend across the board of
I'm
federal
sorry,
overreach.
I don't Right. I don't know the guy's name in Wyoming. Who are you talking about?
I'll come up with his name here in just a second.
Yeah, he was sure. The EPA was after
him. While you look at that, I want to make something very clear. Let me just step away real quick from this particular issue and say that part of the reason I became a journalist is because I'm concerned about the power of government and that I believe that government needs to be checked. And let me give you an example that has nothing to do with this so we don't get caught up in the land use stuff real quick. In Florida, there was a kid who lit his parents' house on fire. He was mentally unstable. He was diagnosed as intellectually disabled. And he lit his parents' house on fire. He really didn't know what he was doing, to be fair. And the state said, you know what, we need to be careful. We need to put this kid in a home for his protection, for the protection of you know, neighborhoods. And this kid was put in government care over the objections of his parents. And while he was in government care, this is in 2002, his name's Franklin Weekly, he wandered into an old building owned by the state, fell down an elevator shaft, and died. Everyone at the facility he was staying at said he ran away. Now, remember that this is a kid who is intellectually disabled. And my point with it is that for 4 years, the government denied that this kid died in their care, tried to come up with some story about how this kid who couldn't take himself to the bathroom or clothe himself ran off to Canada, and suppressed the fact that they had DNA evidence. This is how bad it was. While we're talking about governments, they found his body, or his bones, I should say, his remains, and the only thing around his remains were the elastic underwear band. And his mom wrote his name in the underwears, like you would when you send kids, you know, to camp or whatever, so that his undergarments don't get mixed up. They found that, and they still denied that it was this child. And it was only after I started reporting on it, and I found out about it, and I took the government to task for it, that they finally said, you know what, this is the child, and not only that, but we're going to settle with his family so that we can avoid a court, and they promised them $1.4 million at the time. The reason that this is important to me is because that was in 2007 that this happened. It is 2015, and the government still hasn't delivered on their promise to pay this family. So when I say that I do not trust the government, I look at actions like that, and I look at other actions. Our job as journalists is to be skeptical of everyone, not just the government, but including people who also might not trust the government, such as Ammon Bundy. So when I directed those comments to him, I could feel that way about him and still think to myself that the government does wrong. Now, to the examples that you gave of the Bureau of Land Management, I don't know those examples. That's why I asked for his name. So I don't form an opinion on that.
Well, it's Andy Johnson of Fort Bridger, Wyoming.
I'll be happy to look into that. And I should say that, you know, during the 2014, and I found it really kind of ironic that during 2014, I was one of Cliven Bundy's best friends because he was calling on me and the Sons were calling on me to get on the airwaves because it was a much different situation than what happened at Mollier. And I also think it's important to say that in that tape, you know, where I had some very strong words for Ammon Bundy, I did not share those same strong words for his brother, his mother, Carol. I think that the family, and I made it very clear that even though I don't agree with the politics of Cliven, I think that he's a good man
But you did make some very strong comments about the Bundy Ranch situation and the supporters, even going so far as to imply that the only reason people were there were for casinos and brothels.
I think that those were taken out of context based on a bigger point, which was that it was easy to get up there because of I-15's proximity to Las Vegas. So what I had said was that the big difference between Malheur and where Bundy was at was that there's already this infrastructure to get people to casinos and brothels, and so it was very easy for them to get up there.
How far is it to Las Vegas from there?
From Bunkerville, it's about an hour and 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
It's around 100 miles.
Okay, but, I mean, we're talking about Burns, Oregon now. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burns is like 6 hours from Portland. So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a big
and
difference.
So evidently, somewhere along the line, they ticked you off, and was when you made these comments, it was supposed to be off the record, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
No, I want to make something clear. I when I make comments, just as I'm doing with you right now,
right.
If I know I'm saying them in public, I stand by them unless I make a mistake. There are times I'm human, I make a mistake. So they weren't off the record, and I not only encouraged SBJ, because I'm a member of them, to put it up, I stand accountable for what I said. So I think that that's really important. Ammon Bundy didn't tick me off personally, in the sense that, you know, besides the fact that I found him to not be a truthful person.
Do you believe that the government forces in play from the local level to the federal level share in any responsibility or complicitness in the situation that occurred at Malheur?
I don't have enough information to say whether I believe that or not. What I do say is that the federal government had a long history with Dwight and Stephen Hammond, and Dwight and Stephen Hammond had a long history with the federal government. And what I found is that when two people are going, or two entities are going back and forth like that, it's very difficult to say who is who.
So if you make very bold and strong statements about the responsibility of the Bundys and the occupiers and the condition that they left Burns, Oregon, and Harney County in, yet you
which
don't,
is a mess.
Which is a mess. But you say that you don't have enough information about the complicity of the federal government. Would it be fair then to say that you failed to investigate both sides of the story?
I don't think that a story has both sides. I think there are multiple sides to a story. And at the end of it, you find truth. I think that it's very clear that the federal government, there's significant problems with the fact that there were two bullet shells fired and the stop of Lavoie-Finicum that were unaccounted for. I think that those are very concerning. But the question I was asked specifically about on that panel were the Bundys. And, you know, again, I like Ryan Bundy. I feel bad for him. I think he's a good man, and he's got caught up in a crazy family. I like Carol Bundy. I think she's a strong woman who, unfortunately, has to take care of her men who seem to kind of just be bumbling around, causing a bunch of problems and not doing things that are concrete to help people. And at the end of the day, I mean, this is what it comes down to. I asked Ammon Bundy this directly. Why the need to bring guns? And I genuinely believe if there was a peaceful protest where there was not guns involved in the takeover, and they weren't driving vehicles around and things like that without permission, and they just camped there and they toughed it out, I think they would still be there, and I think a lot more people would be interested in their cause. But when you start these guys had poor muzzle control. They had their safeties off, and you got kids running around there. Just for that alone, Ammon Bundy should not have been the leader. He should have had enough gumption to say, you know what, we're not going to have kids here. But he didn't mind that there were kids there. And he didn't mind that there were kids there because it helped keep him safe. And I ask you, what kind of man would hide behind children?
Well, you yourself stated that you believed Ammon believed that the federal government wouldn't act against them.
Well, this talks about the duplicitous nature of Ammon Bundy. Because on one hand, if he's saying that he's not going to, if he doesn't really believe that the federal government's going to come, then why is he going to the press and really stoking fears and saying that not only is the federal government going to come, but that it was stalking people in the area, which there was no evidence of that.
There was no evidence that the law enforcement agencies were photographing and backgrounding people and compiling files on them, because they had to create an indictment.
That's a very good point. There's absolutely evidence that it happened. It happened to me. I was followed often. It wasn't like I was a friend of the federal government. But my point with it is I was asked specifically about Ammon Bundy. I don't know enough about the government, whether they're complicit. I'm not going to say that. What I will say is I have a healthy skepticism, and I distrust the government just as a general rule, not because I think that there are bad people working for the government, but because I think it's our responsibility as Americans to have skepticism and trust but verify what the government says.
Well, I personally think there's a lot of bad people working for the government. All you got to do is look around and you can see evidence of it across the board.
I think
there's a lot of bad people in all segments of society.
Okay.
And I would say that in this particular case, I was commenting about one person who I still feel very strongly did wrong for his cause, did wrong for the people of Burns, did wrong for the people who were at that area. And, you know, again, I stand by what I said.
I think for the most part, a lot of people would agree with you that the harm that has been done to the community of Burns and Harney County. But I think where we would disagree is that the sole responsibility falls upon the occupiers.
I don't think that the sole responsibility falls on the occupiers for any one thing, because at the end of the day, it's all of our responsibilities to figure out, like, where, you know, how we act in public and what we do. So I can agree with you on that. Again, I was specifically talking about Ammon Bundy, and I will say this, that what I said was not wasn't polite. But there's also a lot
It was more than just Ammon Bundy. You spoke about the occupiers. You wrongfully stated that Bundy protesters from Bunkerville assassinated a law enforcement officer.
Those two guys, or it was a guy and a girl, who I think I misstated the county, but they were very much at Bunkerville.
They were at Bunkerville, and they were removed from Bunkerville because they were promoting violence and killing police officers. The protesters actually kicked them off the property for trespassing.
So what does it say about it?
At the least, it's misleading to say that Bunkerville protesters assassinated a law enforcement officer.
They came to Bunkerville because of it, and that's my point. And I asked Ryan this question very clearly: why the need for guns? Why couldn't they have just showed up and protested, camped out? They could have brought tents. That would have said a lot more to the community, and would have attracted different people. But the same people who are attracted to the Bunkerville case, where you have those two people who were at Bunkerville, and they say they were kicked out. I'm going to, for the sake of argument, just agree with that. I don't know if that's true. But my point is they were attracted to Bunkerville because of that. The same phenomena happened in Burns. There was a man who pulled a gun out on me who was from Little Rock, Arkansas. We looked at who he was. He was wanted for two drive-by shootings. He went to jail for two drive-by shootings in the state. I mean, these are the kinds of people who came to this little town. This little town didn't ask for that. They wanted justice for the Hammonds. Many people in the community still, you know, rallied to the cry of Dwight and Stephen Hammond. I can respect that. I can understand that. I can't understand showing up with a bunch of guns in a town that you don't live
and then on top of it,
putting children at risk. At the end of the day, Ammon Bundy put children at risk. At the end of the day, Ammon Bundy was so arrogant that he thought he could drive to John Day and back and not be in trouble. And he put a teenager who is in the car with him at risk. Would you want that person watching your children?
Well, I'm saying that the people who stopped them put them at risk.
I can understand that. I think that they were doing their job. They were legally sanctioned, you know, and if we want the laws changed, cool. I mean,
there's even questions about legally sanctioned, because the indictments were signed until the day after the traffic stop.
Yeah, they weren't following the law as it's written.
And not only to bring up another instance, say in the case of police protesters or Black Lives Matter, do you blame the core protesters for the violent people and the looters that show up?
I think that anytime you have a event where there's the potential for violence, cooler heads need to prevail. I was very sad to see LaVoie Finicum shot. LaVoie was somebody who I knew. LaVoie is, I believe, again, I'm not commenting on his politics or anything, but at the core of him, I believe he is a good person. It's up for others to decide whether they thought he was misguided. And I feel really, really bad for his foster children. I myself was a foster child, and I know how important it is to be connected to your foster parents. They are your only people. I mean, if you think about it, your family, your parents often can't take care of you. So your father, and for me to know that he was loved by his foster sons, that he was a model for his foster sons, and that he died the way he did, I feel very, very badly for that whole family. Other than that, I can't say who's at fault, and I can't get into Black Lives, because I think that every single situation has its nuances. But I understand the frustration around it. I do. My comments, again, the occupiers in general and Ammon Bundy in particular, did not make it safer. They did not help their cause. and they put children at risk, they put a town at risk, and ultimately their own arrogance and lack of planning led to a situation that caused a mess for everybody. And I want to say that as somebody who does no longer reports on that, and those are my comments only. They're what I believe after reporting on the situation.
Which you are more than entitled to. But I think at the end of the day, what some of the concern is with your comments, which were very strong and honestly very vulgar, very aggressive, and the narrative from some of the other reporters, this is going out to a room full of other reporters that are going to be continuing to report on the situation, and the fear that your narrative, your influence will influence the way that they report, and those are the things that the average citizen in Oregon are going to be reading about this, and in what way does that not influence and help to slant and taint the jury pool for the upcoming trials?
Well, I think you give me a lot of credit that I wish I had. I wish I had that kind of pull. First of all, the room was not to journalists. It was to people who were interested in it, and there were people who afterwards really strongly disagreed with what I said. The tape doesn't capture that. I totally understand the appearance that I perhaps was biased in the past. I can promise you that, you know, I approached this story objectively. I spoke with Cliven and Ryan and Ammon many times, and as I said, I have respect for Ryan and Cliven, and I respect Ammon as a person, but what I said was vulgar, and it was how I felt. I felt that Ammon Bundy, in particular, used a movement to make himself a type of martyr figure, and I think that was wrong. And as far as me influencing journalists going ahead, again, I think you give me way too much credit. I'm flattered by it, but I can promise you that nobody's looking to see which way I go. You know, one of the things that really bothers me is
Was that not the reason that you and the others were on the panel, because you were the influential reporters in the situation?
I think that's fair to say, but I also think there was kind of a wanting to know, like, how did it happen and what it happened. You know, I think Les is a good example of that. I think he's been really hounded and harassed for things that he was just doing as a reporter. And I think what's really, really scary to me is that I can't be independent. I can't independently, I can promise you, without any type of government influence, come to the conclusion that I don't like Ammon Bundy and have it be, well, then all of a sudden it's, oh, well, all the media is not fair. That's just not true. You know, we work really hard in our profession. We do this because we want to see a better life for people. I want to see people in rural areas. I grew up on an avocado farm in foster care. Like, I want to see people in rural areas do well. I understand the importance of that. And it really, really bothers me when it's dismissed. And all of a sudden people start calling me elite. And, you know, people were calling me homo. And just, like, all these things that, A, aren't true, but B, because I expressed my opinion, which is the same thing that these people say that they want the right to do. You know, we're really looking at a lot of this, and I can promise you this. I absolutely promise you this. If the government is wrong, and I mean wrong, like we can show the facts, and we are looking. My colleague Amanda Peacher, who is independent and still objective, and didn't make the same comments, she will find it. My colleague Conrad Wilson will find it. You know, we want to make sure that we are really looking out for people. Like, that's why we get up and do this job.
Well, your colleague did make some comments that are concerning, where she talked about forming the narrative and the way that it wanted to be reported, and saying that when the situation no longer became a daily headline, to make sure that the focus was on the angst and the tension that was within the town. In a way, is
palpable.
That not
it was
that
palpable.
Not shaping it?
Well, that's what we saw on the ground level. I mean, it would have been one thing if we would have saw the town rallying around the occupiers or not. But, I mean, you have to understand, and this is somebody, again, I am very skeptical of the government. I was pulled over numerous – one of the times, and I'll be happy to send it to you, one of the times in my stories I reported about how I couldn't even drive down the street without getting pulled over and followed. And I got into the police officer's grill about that because I thought it was absolutely wrong. But that was because of the tension that was in the town. And, you know, I would, when you have people who are coming who have been convicted of drive-bys and murder, which is some of the things we saw. We saw a lot of transients coming into the town because it was a spectacle. I mean, it was awful. And what it did to those people, nobody asked for. Again, they didn't make it better. They made it worse.
Well, I would contend that, you know, we've got investigations going here on Ammon and all of them. I haven't seen any reporting on the side of the government's mistakes at all. I mean, you say that you guys are going to hold them accountable. I haven't seen anything. The only information I've seen has come from other sources that show what happened, and it doesn't look good for the government. That's why there's been wrongful death suits.
Where are the articles on the discrepancy in the traffic stop?
Sure.
Where are the...
I encourage you all to go to opb.org. We, not me, but my other fellows who are still working the story, have my colleagues, have reported extensively about... some of the problems, not just with the government, with the people, the investigators who are there, all the concerns that you're talking about, I know we've covered, and we've covered extensively. Look, we share concern about the power and the scope of government. That's why journalists do what we do. You know, our job is to act as watchdogs, and there has to be some trust that, you know, as much as people might disagree with some of my conclusions, that in general we are trying to do it right, and we want to let people know. I go back to that story of Franklin Weekly, that kid I was telling you about in Florida. I feel so bad for his family, and to know that he's been jacked around like that. I would use much harsher language than I used for Ammon Bundy to talk about the investigators behind that. I mean, it's just outrageous. We want the same thing. We want the government to be held accountable, but I also believe that people need to be held accountable. And so in that particular instance where I said the remarks that I did, I was speaking directly about Ammon Bundy. But I promise you that in other cases and other things, I would be much more harsh against government. And you're right. You are right that there are bad people who work for government, but I'll remind you, too, that there are a lot of good people who work for government.
Well, but the bad people who work in government hold the power over the other people of police state. And that's the problem. If you're a bad person outside the government, you might be a bad person. But then if you got bad people inside the government, they can wield their power and use it against you in illegal and unconstitutional manners, such as the BLM going out and basically confiscating the property 54% in the western states at last count. And I'm not sure if that's a correct figure. But that's what these people are upset about, is the government coming in and taking over the property and their grazing rights. And after a while, you can't, you know, I haven't seen any articles come out of there that specifically address that.
I can promise you, again, if you go to opb.org, before I stopped reporting on that, I did several of those articles. And before that, I was at KNPR, which is a station in Las Vegas. I would encourage you to go to KNPR.org. Where you can hear articles about that. We covered that extensively.
Okay. Well, what were your conclusions to the BLM? I mean, what were you? You say you reported on it. What were your conclusions as to were they overreaching? Were they out of their scope? Were they following the Constitution? What were your conclusions?
Well, I can only speak to what happened at Mall here and what happened at Bunkerville, and in both times, as far as the legal experts I spoke to, BLM was very much in their rights, but there were questions about the way they went about things. In 1938, I think it was, the Supreme Court decided on the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge that indeed it was a wildlife refuge, and that the federal government exerted control over it. And as far as the grazing permits, you know, the government, if the rules need to be changed about land transfers and things like that, that's not up for me to say. But as far as the letter of the law, the BLM did act in their capacity with regards to Clive and Bundy to execute the seizure of cattle.
Well, do you agree that the Constitution is the law of the land?
Well, of course.
Okay, but if we're not following the Constitution anymore, then any of these laws that are passed that are illegal and foreign to the Constitution are no longer valid and in compliance with the Constitution at that point. I mean, at what point in time does the encroachment of the federal government, when it no longer pays attention to the Constitution, you know, sure, we can make anything legal we want, just like Obama passed put a law about the transgender. That's completely
completely foreign to the Constitution. They're writing law, and look at what's going on with the BLM. At what point in time do you say, hey, they're not following the Constitution at all, but we made it legal?
I think those are great questions, and I think that they're questions way above my pay grade. I know that a lot of people think I'm a elitist and all that. I can promise you I'm not paid as one. And I think that, you know, those are questions that need to be asked. And I understand your anger. I really, really do.
Well, one of the things that I would like to ask
is... I don't know
is,
what to tell you. I don't work for the federal government. I'm not a spokesperson for the federal government, so I can't respond to those.
Where was the reporting regarding the support of the citizens of Harney County for what was going on?
You mean the people who supported it?
Yes.
I did reporting on that. And we actually, I spent numerous, I mean, I'm talking like a lot of time. So in the broadcast hour, you guys are broadcasters, you know how it goes. I mean, 6 minutes and is, you know, a tenth of your cast. And I would spend, you know, up to 20% of my hour at times talking with people about why they supported it. I thought that was a very important part, and it was very clear that there were a lot of people
frustrated. Again, in your comments and your narrative at that particular meeting, none of that came through.
I think that, again, I was addressing the Bundys in particular. That's what I was supposed to talk about at that conference.
Yeah.
And I think that if you watch the previous video, there was Samantha was a local reporter, and she talked about how the community responded to it. That was her. She was the reporter who was there to talk about that, not me.
Well, I have actually watched all of the videos. She also states that very early on, she and her editor had decided that they weren't going to report anything from the Bundy side because they were opposed to it philosophically. That's actually a direct quote. And then she actually backpedals on her.
She did say that, yeah.
She actually backpedals on her own statements where she says, nobody in Harney County or Burns, Oregon supported the movement or the occupiers. Then she goes on to say that the county has been left divided. Well, if there was no supporters of the occupiers, what is the county divided over?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it seems to me that the narrative has been following, which is that, you know, these guys are wrong and we don't report anything else. I mean, you keep telling me that there's all this reporting and we keep coming back with it's been a one-sided deal. I don't understand how you can keep saying that it's not a one-sided deal.
You know, Mike Arnold, who is Mr. Bundy's lawyer, as much as that man does not like me, I can promise you this, that if he's going to be truthful, he could speak to himself about how we played instrumental parts during parts of that occupation of making sure that all sides were presented. You know, again, I think that there were a lot of issues and a lot of problems, and I, to be honest with you, I would love never to talk about that story again. It was, you know, there were times where, as a person, watching people go through it, watching Sean and Sandy Anderson prepare for what they thought was going to be their death, I was scared to death that David Fry was going to kill himself. This is somebody who, you know, again, people can say what they want about the comments I've made. As a person, I was very concerned for that. Ryan Bundy, he has 8 children. There's a good chance he's never going to see his kids again, as a free person. And then it's so upsetting to watch all of this happen. You know, I would love to never talk about it, but I think it is important to look at it, and from somebody in the press, to look at it and say where I went wrong. And, you know, the more I talk with y'all and I hear y'all, I do not change my opinion of Ammon Bundy, but I am regretting what I said, because I think that it took focus off the things we should be critical.
Well, that's kind of our point. That's kind of our real point here.
And
is
in
that
no way are we condoning what the Bundys did. When the occupation occurred, when it happened as it was ongoing, we were reporting that it was the wrong thing, it was the wrong action to do. Myself and others worked very feverishly behind the scenes to try and get those guys out of there, to say, you know, you've proven your point, you've done, get out of here before this resolves in bloodshed, which it will. So we're in no way attempting to be one-sided ourselves. We're just attempting to bring forth that there was wrong actions on both sides that concluded in what ultimately is the death of a good person. And again, we need to remember at the core of this that the Bundys, right or wrong, were willing to sacrifice that relationship with their children, were willing to sacrifice their freedom and possibly their lives to stand up against the oppression and the overreach of the federal government.
Well, and the issue is that important, because then that's what we're trying to concentrate on here, is the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we have a totally out-of-control federal government who no longer cares to follow the Constitution, period. And there's so many separate examples of that. We could spend a whole week going over the data. That's the problem, and I feel that that's being diverted. The attention is being diverted from that onto, oh, gee, they had their kids with them and they had guns. Well, you know, last time I checked under the Constitution and the Second Amendment, you're allowed to have guns. Now, I'm not saying that that was an ideal situation to provoke anything with, but at the same time, the reason that the Second Amendment was there is to protect ourselves from government overreach. It's not for hunting or all these other target shooting. It's the fact is that if the government gets out of control, you have to be able to defend yourself from tyranny. Those are the bigger issues.
And where was the investigation? Because I know the information was there. I investigated it myself. I reported it on myself. Where was the mainstream media investigation of the Hammond case, of Judge Ann Aiken, and the political incest that surrounded that entire case? Where was the reporting on the fact that Special Agent in Charge Greg Bretzing has a long history of fraud, corruption, and citizen bodies turning up in his operation?
And bullying. You go back to the guy that
In
Utah, where they went in there, and the guy actually ended up committing suicide because these guys harassed him to death. So
the government informant that began to say that he was forced to lie and create situations and entrap people that turned up committing suicide within a week of making those statements.
You know, I think that part of the problem that we have just generally in our society is that we don't trust one another. And that's very concerning to me. So all the things that you brought up, you know, some of them I've heard, some of them I haven't, some of them I've looked at, some of them I haven't. But the idea is that, you know, there's definitely an element where of our society that we feel that we cannot trust each other anymore. And that's very, very concerning to me.
Well, that's because we got leaders.
I would agree.
Well, the leaders up there in the White House that are lying and immoral.
Not just even the White House; it's across the board, the whole government.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why the government said, you know, that will bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. We'll bind them down with the law. And when we no longer have a rule of law, this is what we start to get: is you can't trust your government. That was the whole purpose of setting up the Constitution.
Yeah.
Now look what we've got: a division.
What I was going to say is that I understand that frustration. I'm not necessarily commenting on that. And what I want to do is apologize on your radio show for the language I used regarding Ammon Bundy, because again, I think that it does distract. I stand by my sentiments behind it, and I still will say that I do not like Ammon Bundy. Again, that was informed after reporting on him, not
and that's
before.
Okay. I mean, he might personally be a total jerk. You know, I don't know. I've never met the man. So
I apologize because I think it's taken the focus off of being able to answer the questions that you've raised and others. And what I would hope is that you and your listeners would you know, first of all, do what you did. I think what y'all did is one of the most important things. And the fact that we're having a dialogue, like we might, you know, for example, we might disagree. You guys might love Ammon Bundy. There might be a picture of him, you know, right behind you right now, a big poster with a shirt off. I don't know. But my
we saved that space for Putin.
Yeah. but my point is that we have to be able to talk to each other.
I agree.
In order to build that trust, and we have to be able to say when we are wrong. I do not change how I feel about Ammon Bundy, but what I said was wrong. I shouldn't have said it.
Well, what I would like you to invite you to do is, instead of distancing yourself from this story, is maybe take this conversation and some of the things that you said you didn't know and investigate, and take that natural journalistic curiosity and maybe dive back into it and take a look.
You know, I will give that a thought. I'll tell you this. Again, I think I became so emotionally invested. You have to keep in mind that while this was happening, I was there just as much as not at the compound, but, you know, working like these really, really long days and stuff. And I became really emotionally involved.
It's hard not to do sometimes.
And, well, yeah, because, I mean, they're people, right? Like, you know, for all the things that, you know, people say about me and I say about other people, at the end of the day, we're people. And again, watching the last four who were there really... it wore on me. So I that's part of the reason why I took a break. And part of it was because, again, I was getting threats and things like that before I said anything like that. And I should say that part of the reason I think I said the things I did is I was angry.
Well, I can relate to that. I don't know what your nationality is, but I'm Irish, and I can relate to getting angry over this stuff because this shouldn't be happening in the first place. But I want to say I think you're a stand-up guy for coming on, John, because
I think it's good. We need to have, like he said, we need to have this dialogue amongst us so we can work things out.
Provide the forum to do that.
Right. It's
good.
And it's hard to get that forum.
But I think we have a call.
We do have a caller on the line. We have Gary.
Good morning, Gary. You have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I did. And thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to this thing. Gary. And I certainly can see both sides of it. But my question is that, you know, I feel sorry for the kids, too. And, oh, gosh, I feel sorry for the children. And, by gosh, what about the children? And I get that. I guess my point is that at what point does our guest think that he carries responsibility on getting a part of the story that's going to add fuel, even though right, wrong, or different, but would add fuel and influence not only to people who are the left-leaning side of this issue, but also add fuel to the government's position, rather than being fair and balancing something out? Because, in essence, I haven't heard anything that gives any balance other than someone giving their opinion. And regardless of how important the person is that gives an opinion, if the left, the mainstream press, and the government can use it for their agenda, then I don't know how responsible that is, or if the journalist has even thought about that issue. I'd like to hear his comment on that.
Sure. Well, the first thing is I want to, with regards to this idea that somebody is more important than the other, we're all equal in the eyes of God, and I do feel that I will be judged in front of God the same way that everyone does. So I feel that I'll be held into account for not just this action, but all of my actions, and that guides me in what I do. Now, that obviously doesn't make me perfect because I use language that was really, really foul. I think that the responsibility I hold is great with regards to the society, and I want to make it clear. That's why I asked to be taken off the story. When it became clear to me that I could no longer approach it with not just, and again, I don't believe there are two sides to any story. I believe there are many sides to every story. And I think that in our country, we've gotten way too off on, you know, this is left and this is right and this is that. I think people would be really surprised to hear some of my political beliefs, for example. But that being, and I'm not going to get into those. But
that's, hold on real quick, guys. We are coming up on a hard break here pretty quick, and we've got a couple more questions that we've got to get into, but go ahead quick, Terry.
Just with all due respect, I'm not trying to this isn't a question of your salvation, sir. It's a question of your responsibility. That's what I'm saying.
Said I was responsible.
In knowing the room you're walking into, how can you lean to just one side like that? That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
All right, thanks,
thank
Terry.
You, Terry.
Thanks.
I think that was more of a point than a question.
Yeah. The question that I have, too, is, have you looked into anything around surrounding the traffic stop, mainly concerning who issued the direct order for that traffic stop?
My colleague has, and I know that they are still working on that story.
Let's go to a quick break, and then we've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. If you can stay with us till then, then we'll go to a hard break then and go from there. So we appreciate you coming on. But,
if you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 530-605-4567. This has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Admitted a stranger, I'm not. But
buddy, let me tell you what. If you ask old Will to say, here's the deal, friends, it's all going to pot.
Well, it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and we're all going to miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't get the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Oh.
Oh, we're live. Be careful what you say over there.
Sovereign Mind Radio, Omens Reef Fire Media. We just got a couple of minutes to the top of the hour, then we got to go to a hard break. And we kind of want to just thank you for coming on the show and taking the heat, John, because, you know, I think that, you know, having the conversation and the dialogue is very important, like you said.
Yeah, and I want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity, and also thank you for helping me kind of realize what. Again, how I said what I said was wrong. I still stand by what I said, if that makes sense.
No, but, yeah, it absolutely. Totally makes yeah. sense, and we appreciate you clarifying that.
Yeah, yeah. So I apologize for that.
God forbid you have an opinion.
Tell me about it. but I do want to make it clear to the listeners, like, you know, we try really hard to stay out of things, and then when it became clear that I personally couldn't stay out of it, that my opinion was going to influence my reporting, I backed out.
That's
and I
tough.
Don't report on it anymore.
That's a tough call. I mean, we find that here, you know, we get invested in emotionally on some of this stuff, too. And it's hard because, you know, what we don't get is the other side of the story, you know, 90% of the time. So we're kind of angry on this side that just the fact that a lot of the reporting doesn't get done at all on the mainstream side.
Well, this involves all of us. This involves our country, and this involves our liberty, and it is very an emotional
thing. Sometimes when we put together articles, we have to put them together and take the night off and come back and look at them and completely rework and go, wait a minute, I was, you know, nowhere in the ballpark of objective on this.
Sometimes.
And that's not an opportunity afforded to you in a live speaking event.
So.
That's true. That does not excuse it. Again, I own those words that I said, and I believe that when you own it, you own it. But I meant what I said to you, your previous listener. I ultimately, just like everyone else, am responsible to one authority, and they're going to cut us off.
Thanks again for coming on, and we might have you back in the future if you'll come on and keep the dialogue
going. Yeah, y'all can call
me
anytime. I'll talk about anything. That's part of my problem.
we talk about everything here.
All right, and you're listening.
Y'all have a good Sunday.
You right, too. Thanks again. And you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. House Speaker Paul Ryan says achieving Republican Party unity behind Donald Trump is a process.
Good Republicans will disagree with one another on various policy ideas. But we also want to make sure that we have the kind of campaign going forward that is appealing and unifying.
Ryan says he doesn't have a timeline for unifying behind the presumptive GOP presidential nominee, but notes that Republicans are in the process of coming together while, quote, Democrats are still ripping each other apart. A National Transportation Safety Board team is in South Texas today to add its expertise to the investigation of a charter bus crash. That bus was headed to a casino yesterday morning when it rolled over on a highway north of Laredo, killing 8 people and injuring 44 others. A Texas Department of Public Safety spokesman says it was raining at the time, but it's not clear if that was a factor. A new study says there's a 25% chance that the 106-year-old rail tunnel into New York City will have to close for repairs before a new one is opened.
Closing the tunnel would cut rail traffic into and out of the nation's largest city by 75% at peak times. The study, released by the nonpartisan group Common Good, made its estimate based on environmental studies being completed in 3 years. The environmental process is estimated to take 2 to 3 years. The federal government recently announced plans to accelerate that process.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Authorities in Washington state have cleared the train tracks of protesters north of Seattle and arrested 52 climate activists. A spokesman for the rail line near 2 refineries says about 150 people spent the night in tents and sleeping bags on the tracks. Hillary Clinton has kicked off a campaign swing through Kentucky this weekend, which holds its primary on Tuesday. Clinton holds a big lead in delegates over Bernie Sanders, but he keeps winning primaries. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Saudi Arabia today holding talks on the conflicts in Syria, Libya, and Yemen ahead of larger meetings on those crises in Europe this week. Kerry has met today in Jeddah with the Saudi King Salman, the Crown Prince, the Deputy Crown Prince, and the Foreign Minister. He travels later today to Vienna, where he is to co-host groups talking on Libya with Italy's foreign minister, and then on to Syria with his Russian counterpart. He will then visit Brussels for a meeting of NATO foreign ministers before flying on to Asia to meet President Obama in Vietnam. Organizers say a 33-year-old rider has died after she fell from her horse during an equestrian competition at the Horse Park of New Jersey in Allentown. NewJersey.com reports that Philippa Humphreys fell at a fence while competing in the Jersey Fresh International three-day event yesterday. She was pronounced dead at a hospital. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. We'll soon be able to get an online virtual tour of a Virginia river system that Captain John Smith explored centuries ago.
A Richmond-based map maker is using a one-of-a-kind boat equipped with six cameras to create a digital image map of the Rappahannock River. Joel Dunn with the Chesapeake Conservancy describes it as sort of like a Google Street View of the river, and it's a view that should be up and running in August. Smith was a 17th century explorer who helped to found Jamestown in the Virginia colony.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, May the 15th, the 136th day of 2016. There are 230 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1911, the Supreme Court ruled that Standard Oil was a monopoly in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act and ordered the company's breakup. And on this date in 1940, the original McDonald's restaurant opened in San Bernardino. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in here at 530-605-4567, or you can get onto the chat room at kcnr1460.com. It's been jumping pretty good there. And I got to agree with what Raleigh says there on the chat room. I mean, if our guest was so concerned about the safety of the children being brought to the refuge, well, who's ever thought that they'd be stopped on a blind curve and shot at by the government, too, you know? I mean...
Our concern is that there's another half to this story that is being forgotten and pushed under
the rug. Exactly. That's the point.
If it was not for the direct actions of the federal government, they never would have been there. Right, wrong, indifferent on the Bundys being there, they wouldn't have been there if there was not a long train of abuses by the federal government.
More outreach by them.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. You can only hit a dog so many times with a stick before he's going to turn around and
bite
you.
Well, when you start losing your, you know, that's the point I was trying to make too as well. When you start losing your livelihood, when you start losing your way to feed your family, when the government starts taking away your ability to survive, that's when you start getting pissed off, you know, and that's really what we're talking about here. I mean, I don't know any of the Bundys. Maybe they're jerks. I don't know. But at the same time, you know, does that give the government the right to steal your livelihood? And if you're a jerk, you're not supposed to get mad about it?
And where are the questions that the protesters were drawing initially? Where's the jurisdiction of the federal government to do what they did?
Exactly.
Where's the documentation to own your land? We're approaching the third year since Bunkerville, and the BLM has still failed to produce the receipts for the range fees that they claim they went after Bundy for?
Why are the states they were never supposed to give that control over that land over to the federal government. Those are all states' rights. The federal government is not supposed to own more than 10 square miles in D.C.
That's not even a case in Clark County, because when Nevada Nevada originally came into the Union, Clark County was not part of Nevada. It was the Arizona Territory and was not part of Nevada until 1909, where the state legislature of Nevada voted directly to annex it to the state. It was never government land.
So there was never any jurisdiction to begin with.
Ever.
Exactly. Why is that not being reported? Yeah,
that's
silence.
That's our frustration. That's our, and it's not in defense of one side or the other, but we find ourselves pushed to one side because the other side is not being reported.
Exactly.
At
and
all.
It's over and over and over again.
What
it's not
do,
just one or two incidents.
Well,
it's one. It's over and over again with many subjects.
The narrative is we concentrate on the rabble, the troublemakers, mm-hmm. you know, they're constitutionalists and you know, they're
which,
separatists. They want to,
which are often the looky-loos. They're not even part of the core
right.
group of people. It's the kooks that show up anytime
well,
there's a
and
circus.
Unfortunately, there's bad people on
everywhere.
Well,
everywhere. They're there. They're present no matter what. We can't control all of that.
And it's like when a tornado goes through a city, out of the whole city, they find the dumbest person they can to put on TV.
Unless it's Black Lives Matter. And then they just ignore the whole thing of the guys burning down and looting the town. But, you know, I defy anybody to go watch some of the Lavoie Finicum YouTube's videos about he's talking about what the BLM's been doing and about his property rights and, you know, and where the rights came from. And here's a guy talking about the federal government completely out of control, and he's going to make a stand because someone has to sooner or later. That never got reported. I mean, so he gets killed. Of all the guys, he's the guy that gets killed.
Yeah. Who, by all accounts and evidence, was a good, gentle, righteous man.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he was protecting.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. He was protecting many, you know, not just the people, but he was protecting the whole movement, too.
That's, again, you know, Ammon Bundy having children there and stuff, probably not the wisest decision to be on. But they were attempting to present the fact that they were trying to turn the land over to the people of Harney County. They wanted the people of Harney County to come out and take ownership of their land and of their
to understand
their
the responsibility that the land is theirs, not the federal government's, and at the state level to start using and fighting back at the state level to get back those property rights like Utah's been doing.
And at the end of the day, somebody tell me what law they violated.
Yeah, I'd like to know
they
that.
Have a right to bear arms. They have a right to open carry in the state of Oregon. It's a public land. They didn't break into the facility. There's no laws like on a campsite you can only camp 14 days or anything like that. There's nothing like that on how long that you're allowed to stay on the refuge.
It was an empty building that was unlocked.
It was, and then you make the case, oh, well, they were interfering with the duties of a federal officer. What federal officer? The place was closed. There was no federal officer there to do a duty.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the whole
crazy.
Thing stinks to high heaven.
And at what right do they have a right to peacefully assemble to protest and ask for redress of grievances from their government in a prescribed manner, in a prescribed location from the government? That's not what the Constitution
and they
says.
Had it set up with the sheriff to get together and discuss it. That's where they were on their way to do
That's
that.
That's why they attempted to assassinate him.
Right.
Well, and you talk about maybe the possibility that the Bundys were confrontational. I'm saying they probably were a little bit because after the standoff down there in Nevada where these guys showed up with, you know, if they hadn't been armed,
yeah,
they wouldn't have any rights at all. They would have been, you know, arrested summarily and driven off their land.
Yeah.
And their cows were confiscated.
We've seen what happens to peaceful protesters. They turn the riot police loose on them. They tear gas them. They pepper spray them. They crack their skulls with nightclubs. Why do they have guns? Why the hell do you think they had guns?
Say yeah. Ruby
to
Ridge.
Defend themselves from their government.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah,
it's exactly. happened before.
So,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's in the Constitution, is that, you know, when government gets out of control, that's your. If you don't have any way to fight back, then you become subservient. You become a slave to your government. And look what, you know, we talk about slavery in a lot of different ways. Everybody, you know, when you think of slavery, you picture a bunch of people out in the fields getting whipped by an overseer. Well, there's lots of kinds of slavery. I mean, there was also the house servants who didn't get whipped at all and had a pretty nice life, but they still did everything they were told. At what point in time, when you start losing most of your income to a federal government whose out-of-control spending has turned us into the biggest debtor nation in the history of the world, at what point in time are you subservient to a federal government that tells you where to pee, who you can pee with? At what point in time do you fight back and say, oh, gee, enough's enough. We need to form another state here because these guys down in Sacramento don't care about the Constitution anymore. I mean, you know, when you listen to Nancy Pelosi on her famous quote of the Constitution, really? Are you serious? At what point in time is enough enough?
Well, and again, the Bill of Rights. They are not in the order that they were put in by accident. First Amendment, you have a right to public speech. If you are denied your right to public speech, that's what the Second Amendment is for, is to be able to defend yourself. If you're not allowed to defend yourself, they're not allowed to quarter troops in your home to suppress you.
Right.
Then you have the right to be safe and secure in your belongings and in your effects of your home so that you can maintain your Second Amendment right to defend the First Amendment. And it goes on in a progression.
Right.
And, you know, why did they have their guns? Because the federal government has removed the right to peacefully protest in this country, because they will turn the dogs loose on you, because they will turn the fire hoses on you. They will pepper spray you. They will tear gas you. They will club your head in. That is not a right to peacefully protest.
Well, there you have it. That's where we're at right now. And, you know, whether we like it or not, that's what we have to deal with. So we still have the First Amendment rights only because of the Second Amendment at this point. If we didn't have the right to bear arms at this point, do you think these guys would pay any attention to us at all? Do you think these puppet masters, you know, at whatever level of government, would even give a crap about what we said about anything? I mean, you know, and you hear the lies from these idiots day after day on their campaign slogans and all the BS that they're spewing. You know, our local guy, oh, I stood up against big government. Are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, that's why you signed the communist bill. And
my most recent favorite from the local representatives trying to get elected: if we can get high-speed internet, we can save the North State.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the most important thing there is.
Well, maybe there's a new game out, a video game, where you get to save the North State, but you need high-speed internet to use it.
What are you talking about? High-speed internet's going to save the North State?
Yeah.
Probably 40% of the people that live here don't even log on to do email. What are you babbling about?
Yeah, they're just like Bill Clinton. They don't use email.
Oh, I have high-speed internet, but I'm a slave and I've lost all my constitutional rights.
Well,
yay!
I mean, again, you have lost all your constitutional rights and you're poor. See, you know, if you don't...
And the government still has control of the button whether I have the electricity to sign on to the internet or not,
And they send you out your EBT card so that you're really smart and getting over on the government because they're handing out free money. Are you really smart for picking up your free phone, getting your food stamps, getting your government check, and you could barely pay your rent because the cost of bread is $50 a loaf? I mean, that's what we're talking about. A can of tuna is going to be the size of an Oreo cookie here pretty soon. Do you think there's any inflation out there? Do you think their overspending is going to catch up? Do you think that Venezuela is the tip of the iceberg? What about Puerto Rico going belly up? What about Greece? What about, the whole European Union is starting to fall apart? Are you getting it yet? This is what happens when government gets out of control and you have counterfeiters in charge of the money and they overspend to tell everybody what a great bunch of people they are and they get to give you your little allotment of food and money so that you can have a nice little apartment in the suburbs, in the stack and pack housing for the Agenda 21 future of our country. Was that a rant?
Well, a little bit, but I mean, it's... Which part were you wrong about?
Yeah.
I would challenge anybody to try to disprove any statement that you just made. Go for it. Dare you.
I think we need to go to a break because I'm about ready to throw my mouse through the window.
If you want to call in and you have a subject, a question, or have a concern, give us a call so we can discuss it at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Thank you. While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
It's going to be good. Wow!
Rodeo. Steer wrestling. Team roping. Saddle bronc riding. Barrel racing. And, of course, bull riding. Rodeo.
Ready, rodeo.
The fun and action-packed event held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Friday night, the third night of our $1 million Tour PCRA-sanctioned rodeo. And Saturday night, the PCRA Challenge of Champions Rodeo, featuring the best cowboys in the PCRA. Go to readingrodeo.com. Click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016 at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Mast Roofing, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
Fire Media, you gotta like that song. Gosh. Sigh. We went out with Enya, may it be. That sort of got me a little bit calmer.
Deep sighs and moods of depression.
Oh, man. You know, I got this next story. I think we had a caller, but they're gonna call back. I gotta talk about this. The TTIP is... This comes from Armstrong Economics, is the bookend to the WTO agreement to protect bankers. Now, we talk about these trade agreements, okay? The TPP proposal is bought and paid for by the bankers. Pick up the rug and you will always find the dirt. The USA has been fining European banks for vast amounts of money. The New York bankers, especially Goldman Sachs, is shaking like a leaf at the thought that they could be hauled into European courts to pay for the collapse of Greek debt. For starters, the main stumbling block with the TTIP is, however, at the request of the bankers, the agreement prohibits any foreign country from suing New York bankers anywhere outside of New York City, where they all own the judges today, as just as the mafia did in the Prohibition days. And this goes back to Robert Rubin, 1999, ex-Goldman Sachs U.S. Treasury Secretary, that crafted the deal to allow China into the World Trade Organization. It was eminently doable. Yes, it was Robert Rubin.
I don't think you have to say former Goldman Sachs treasurer anymore. I think the Goldman Sachs is implied if you just say U.S. Treasury.
Yes, Treasury Secretary, because that's like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
You
got
to go to Goldman Sachs or vice versa. You know, if you go there, then you go to Goldman Sachs. Take your pick.
Yeah.
But this deal covers 95% of the global financial services market as measured in revenue. With this deal, 102 WTO members now have market opening commitments in the financial services sector, including 70 improved offers in the rounds of negotiation. The commitments before U.S. now encompasses $17.8 trillion in global securities, $38 trillion in global domestic bank lending, $22.2 trillion in worldwide insurance premiums. You know, insurance alone, U.S. companies now have more than $200 billion in foreign premiums. TPP is now, TTIP is now all about protecting banks from lawsuits because they blew up the world and seriously damaged the global economy. Under Ronald Reagan, the annual GDP growth was 3.5%. Obama will pray for 1.5%. We know it's a lot worse than that, because when you get through with all of the lies and the deceit and the fixing of the figures and the statistics and all the crap, we're probably having a negative GDP. Mm. And so the velocity of money's crashed. Unbelievable. Anyway,
we do have a caller on the line.
Tip. Just the tip, baby.
Oh, didn't our local guy vote for Obama to have more authority for these trade agreements?
Yeah. You know, it's just
the tip,
Mark. It
was good for the country.
Yeah, that's the tip, all right. I feel like the tip.
Just the tip, baby.
Wait till I'm not feeling the
burn. I think I'm going to go to the caller with that
I'm
one.
I'm not feeling the burn anymore. I'm feeling the tip.
Good morning, Lori. How are you this morning?
It has to be me as the next caller, darn it. I tell you. I was at the Civic Center yesterday, and I wanted to accentuate exactly what you're talking about right now on the economic sanctions. Gary Oxley, who's running for District 1, had mentioned that he had tried desperately to get the Record Searchlight to post and publish the sanctions and that on the treaties. And his response was that the AP did not approve of having this treaty information put in the paper. So there we have our suppressed press. And thank goodness that we have your show. We'd be cooked.
And we'll be talking to Mr. Oxley and looking over those treaties, and you can bet when we get our hands on them, they'll be coming out in the Shasta Lantern, because I don't give a damn what the Associated Press wants printed.
Oh, it doesn't matter. These treaties, oh, they're just these little small agreements. You know, they only control, $200 or $300 trillion worldwide economy.
It's your gun rights.
It's no big deal. Don't worry about Goldman Sachs or the New York bankers. They're not trying to control the world or nothing. It's just this is
If you take what's going on now with the TPA and the TTP and the TTIP and the TT whatever, it's the first move. It's the next move in declaring corporations as sovereign entities equal to a nation. That's what's coming.
Yeah. This is and this TTIP is by no means a real trade deal. It is a one-sided agreement intended primarily to protect New York bankers. Is there a theme here that we've been kind of going on with?
No. I've missed it.
Rotten pieces of
toga party?
Well, and I want to compliment you, Red, for doing a wonderful job of moderating, because lots of those five topics were, pretty excitable. I myself was just, it's hard to formulate a question when everything's just so connected. So I want to commend you on really doing an exceptional job.
Well, thank you, and I did what we could, and even though we went for 4 hours, we were really pressed for time there at the end to try and get everything in.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if people understand, but Mr. Oxley paid for that entire rental, the full afternoon, which was extremely expensive out of his pocket.
What disgusted me was the lack of interest of the people of Shasta County. That was horrible.
Well, Mr. Cheadle had mentioned that you know, while people were still going to like whine and complain about LaMalfa once again not showing, it was like, well, then what do you have to say when this place is, you know, you could hear a pin drop?
Well, that's people even went outside of the Civic Auditorium with cookies and drinks down to the Sundial Bridge and things like that to tell people, hey, there's a congressional debate going on here. Hey, do you want to know who's going to be your next congressman? Hey, no, I'm not interested. No,
but do
no
I get
deal.
A free cookie and coffee?
Yeah.
Well, when I start having to look for the cats in the neighborhood in order to feed my kids, I guess I'll get interested in that.
Well, in closing, I will share with you where we went afterward was the Caldwell Park had the fire festival. That's where everybody was. There's no parking. You couldn't get anywhere. And we were there like, I don't know, 6 o'clock, so it's kind of wrapping up. This is where the masses were yesterday instead of finding out what's happening.
Well, hey, bikinis and fire.
Future.
You know, yeah. I mean, what do you want, bikinis and fire?
I think that's where we're at.
Well, that all depends.
I like drums, too.
I could do without the bikinis.
I want drums, too. Bikinis,
no,
but, fire, and
no
drums.
Guys running around in banana hats?
No.
Oh.
No, thank you.
No, but there was a Viking.
Well, then, that might be okay. A little different. We can go with the Viking.
You got Vikings, fire, bikinis, beer.
Sounds like hey, a bad, yeah. It almost yeah. Sounds like a Tarzan movie.
Who wants to go find out who's going to run their future? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for calling
thanks
in, Lori. We appreciate it. We do have another caller on the line.
Thanks. We have Clark. Good morning, Clark.
Clark?
Hey, good morning.
Morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the exchange you had with that other gentleman reporter. And I thought it was a reasonably good exchange. What I find interesting is the lack of history. If I understood what Bundy went through in Southern Oregon, wasn't he in reality acknowledging states' rights?
That was the point.
Questioning the involvement of the federal government in controlling the land.
That was really
where we're going.
That was the whole question being drawn. Was federal jurisdiction.
And that was the whole point that was being ignored in this whole thing. That was kind of why we were up in arms about it, is because, gosh, this whole thing is about federal overreach. Why don't we even talk about that?
That's correct. And it shows me that even with my own trying to research and understand what's gone on for the past 100 years, the people that I talk to that are friends of mine, when I refer to what happened to Finucane as being murder, they say, oh, that's an awful strong word. They don't understand what the circumstance was when it happened. There's so the information that's being imparted is not informing the public of what's going on.
Absolutely.
It's
totally frustrating.
Well, these guys come out of these Ivy League schools. You know, the old saying is you go to Harvard and turn left. I mean, they come out of these schools, and they're not taught how to question what they're told to think. And that's the problem.
That's exactly what my dad said to me when I graduated from high school in 1953. If you want to go to Harvard, we'll send you. But you're not going to turn left when you leave there.
Well, it's very simply the definition of murder, premeditated killing of one human being by another. Was Lavoie Finucane killed by another human being? Yes.
Was it premeditated?
Was it premeditated?
Well, I'll tell you what. They set up a L-style ambush right out of the military special ops handbook. And, we just do that on a random stop, a traffic stop, right, with no warrants and no probable cause.
Was against the law to begin with.
Well, there was a premeditated understanding that if there was noncompliance or anything else, that there would be people killed. That's why they're out there with the arms and weaponry that they would. So whether you want to make the argument over whether it was a lawful murder or not, you can't make the argument that it was not a murder because he was killed by a fellow human being who was premeditated to create the situation.
Yeah, the only question is, was it a justifiable homicide? And the real deal is, I don't know how you could come to that conclusion.
Let's try to go back. Somehow or other, we've got to get on the track that the federal government has usurped our states' rights.
Yep.
I stood up in 30 years ago and told John Baumol we were going to have to stop taking federal money.
Yep.
or we're going to lose control of our sheriff's department. And he stood up, and I had about 400 or 500 people there, and he said, well, Clark, he says, we can't stop taking the federal money because we can't run our sheriff's department without it.
Sure.
The only way we'll ever get control of our lives again is to do away with the federal government involvement in state and city and county issues, but our politicians are not allowing that to happen.
This is exactly why the founders said there will be no direct taxes. We didn't change that till 1913, because once you give the power to tax, you give the power to destroy, and that's what we're doing. We're sending our money to the people who are destroying our sovereignty. It's that simple, and then they're going to trickle it back. It's like this bathroom thing. Oh, we're going to pull your federal funding unless you decide to let people who are not sure what their gender is, give them a special place to pee, and they could pee anywhere they want because they could decide one day to the next whether they're a woman or a man.
Here again, we have to stop the federalization of things. How do we get the public educated to what has to happen?
Well,
that I guess becomes the question. I don't know.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here at this radio station at the Shasta Center.
And you're doing a wonderful job. I'll let you guys go. Ooh. I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in today. I thought it was a reasonably good exchange of situations and ideas with that other gentleman, but it illuminated in my mind's eye, he doesn't really understand the background. He doesn't understand the federalization of private property, doesn't understand the federalization of state property and why it's originated, how it's come about. We've been blackmailed through the years to get to be a state. I'm kind of rambling now, and I'll shut up. I really appreciate you guys' efforts.
All right, thanks for calling in, Clark. We appreciate it.
And the concerning part is it is guys like him that are unknowingly or knowingly setting the tempo for all of this.
It's the useful idiots syndrome.
They don't know.
They don't know. I mean, they don't understand even the basic concepts of how our government is operated. The states got together and created the federal government, not the other way around.
But there lies the biggest problem right there. Most people do not know that because they are not taught that.
Well, that's even yesterday, some of our congressional candidates, some of their statements and comments do not understand how our government works or is designed to work.
Yeah.
Like one candidate basically made the statement that the Constitution derives its authority from the Supreme Court. Are you out of your mind? The Supreme Court wouldn't even exist without the Constitution.
The consent of the governed is where you start, other than God.
Yeah, there's no chicken and egg syndrome here, people.
The Supreme Court. So, in other words, they're supposed to, they've given themselves, through court decisions, power over everybody in the Constitution. No, that really doesn't make sense.
No, I can't go there with that one.
Yeah.
And with that, We do have a caller on the line. We have Charles. Good morning, Charles.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what can we do for you?
I'm digressing to the debate.
Okay.
I barely had found out about it the day before when, something that Greg Kittle had posted appeared in my news feed, and a comment that somebody had posted asking him when the next day's congressional candidate forum was going to be held, and I'm going, congressional candidate forum in Reading, what the bleep? How come I wasn't told about this?
Well, they want to keep
it a secret.
I ended
up having to go to the events page of the Civic Center website, and that's when I found out, it's, Saturday afternoon at, 1 o'clock, doors opening at 12. So, real well publicized, but regardless, it seems like there was a considerable evasiveness on the part of some candidates, responding to certain questions. One good example would be the question regarding the standing rule.
Charles.
Charles, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Being there at the debate, and I'm not sure if it was so much as evasive on some people's parts as they don't even understand the government well enough to understand the question that you were asking them, Charles. It was a very good and it was a very pertinent question. It's essentially Charles asked them, what are they going to do to stop the court from hiding behind the standing rule, which basically implies you have to meet certain criteria to challenge a law as constitutional, because a lot of times they pass unconstitutional laws and people go to oppose them, and the court says, well, it doesn't matter if it's constitutional or not, you don't have standing, so you can't bring suit to overturn the law. And Charles asked them, what would they do as congressmen to do that? And I don't think they even understand the operation of our government well enough to even understand what you were asking them, Charles.
Well, we know that the so-called birther lawsuits were thrown out on that exact technicality. Oh, well, you don't have standing, so we're not going to rule on the merits. So, yeah. But, I mean, there's, you know, some sort of awareness on the standing rule, even if the exact, you know, jots and tittles are not widely known. I mean, you just Google the gosh darn thing.
But I honestly don't think any of those candidates knew what the standing rule was.
Well, one of those candidates was a practicing attorney.
Scary.
Practicing. And and his mouth was tightly closed the whole time.
Well, that's true. So maybe there was somebody up there that did understand that and chose not to comment.
But, you know, the Constitution gives to Congress the right to regulate the inferior courts. And the primary vehicle for that is legislation. And so, I mean, it seemed a pretty, cut and dried question. Will you or will you not, you know, curtail this crap? And I wound up having to rephrase the question almost a half a dozen times.
Because they didn't answer it?
Because it was like...
They didn't get it.
I mean, it was almost...
They didn't
like,
understand.
It was almost like, you know, a person... I mean, the response might as well have been, no speaking English.
it almost was.
Well, there you go. We got to move on, Charles. We're running out of time. There's about 20 minutes left.
And we do have another caller on the line.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks for calling in. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air, Bill.
Oh, hey, good. I just wanted to let you guys know that, as usual, I'm listening and absolutely thoroughly enjoy your perspective and your attention to detail in all these matters. And for your patriotism, I just wanted to put a thumb up. And again, the content of your show is worthy of syndication. I firmly believe that. I listen to a lot of talk radio, as I've mentioned before, and you guys are absolutely on the spot with all of your perspectives and the frustration levels and stuff that you generate doesn't help my blood pressure.
Ours neither.
It's a good way to spend the Sunday, huh? Get that blood pressure up.
Exactly. And I think...
Need to listen to Enya more.
I think a church service might calm me down, but it would be nearly as exciting. So carry on, and good reporting, Red, and thank you for all what you do, and I'll be listening next week.
All right, well, thanks a lot for calling in, Billy Bob. Yeah, I think we're going to go to a break here shortly. Before we do, I was asked to clarify about the event on Saturday. With State of Jefferson's involved with that too, but on Saturday from noon to 3 at the Veterans Hall, we are doing a Fallen Rider Run, and we're celebrating Armed Force Day. Also, State of Jefferson's going to be there. It's from 12 to 3. Missing in America Project, we are going to be serving food from 12 to 3 out there, so please come by, show your support for us. And again, I want to, the State of Jefferson is going to be there handing out information. If you have questions, there will be people standing by to answer your questions on that piece of it. And I'm sure that they will have some of the issues that are going on for signatures and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was asked to clarify that. So, again, that's this coming Saturday,
I'm chuckling
12 at, to 3.
I'm chuckling at the chat room. Sigmund says, maybe we can find the feds to include constitutional studies in the Common Core curriculum. Weedy says, good Lord, Sigmund, that's so dumb. It hurts. and there are people out there who think it's a wonderful idea. And then RTE says, if you have to disarm the audience, then you don't have standing.
Very quickly before we go off to break two, wanted to remind everybody, State of Jefferson is now meeting still every Monday night at 5:30 at a new location, and that is the Vineyard Church on Bocelli. 3276 Bocelli Lane, every Monday night at 5:30. So if you're interested in the State of Jefferson, you're curious about what's going on, go ahead and come down there, find out. And Monday night at the Reading Patriots, there will be a senatorial debate between candidates for Senatorial District 1.
And don't forget, we've got gun raffle tickets. Help support us, and you could win. You could actually win three guns.
All right.
So with that, we're going to go to a break. This has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot, Thursdays at 6 p.m.
Here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort at Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
I love that song. Sunshine, rainbows, lollipops. Man, we're all over it. Yeah,
yeah,
Leslie
okay.
Gore. No relation to Al Gore. Wait, I can see it now. The Barack Obama Center for Constitutional Studies, a mental health facility. We have a caller on
the
line.
We do. Good morning, Riley Sally. How are you?
Good morning. I just wanted to thank Red for announcing what's going on tomorrow. I have a Patriots meeting.
Can't hear.
Yeah, you gotta get.
We can't hear you, Sal.
Sal, you gotta turn your radio down or something. You're in, like in an echo chamber.
Sorry, radio's not on.
Oh, there you go.
Better.
Am I better?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, the candidates who are going to be at tomorrow night's candidate forum at the Reading Patriots, there are three of them who are wanting to represent the people here in District 1, Senate District 1, and that is Rob Rowland, who's a Democrat. He will be there. And also Steve Baird, who is a Republican, he will be there. And Ted Gaines, who is our incumbent, who has been our senator for the last 4 years, is too busy to come.
Maybe we should have an empty chair for him,
We will certainly have a chair for him.
Yeah, do like the Clint Eastwood thing. Here's the empty chair.
Could we maybe put a stuffed monkey wearing a diaper in it?
So we do invite people to come on out. It's open to the public. It's at 6 o'clock. It's on Chelly Lake at the Vineyard City Church.
Do we have the address on that? So
3276, is that correct, Sal?
Yeah, correct, Pacelli Lane.
3276 Pacelli Lane. I'm going to have to put that in my
Yeah, and that little shopping center, in case people don't know, it's the shopping center where Yaks used to be. Yaks was in the corner, and this is next door.
I think it used to be a supermarket back.
Somebody told me it used to be a Safeway at one time.
Or a Holiday or something there. I swear I remember.
But it's a nice facility. But that I think it's Town and Country Shopping Mall.
Yeah,
there you have it. You got anything else, Sally?
We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, Sal, for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well,
bye-bye.
I got another story here from America's Middle Class. This comes from CNBC. They're all over it. Even they're having to start to report the truth a little bit because you can only cover up.
Like you can only run the same tape, the real tape, over and over again so many times? Is that it?
I mean, if you listen to the sock puppets, or the meat puppets, the meatheads, the talking heads on CNBC, I don't even know how these guys stay on the air, quite frankly. But anyway, America's middle class is hollowing out in many cities. So, I mean, you can't. It's getting to the point where you can't even cover this up. That, you know, you've got 9 out of 10 cities that are losing their middle classes, and so you know, this is a Pew Research Center data released this week. In 9 out of 10 cities, there are fewer middle class families since 2000. These trends in the middle class are reflective of rising income equality. Yeah, rising income equality. You know, they got to slant this crap. It couldn't be the fact that the economy's tanking worldwide through a global recession related to the derivatives marketing by Goldman Sachs and all their shenanigans.
Rising
and crap.
Income equality.
Yeah.
It is
that means they're getting poorer and poorer.
Yeah, that's government speak for shrinking median income.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that was Rakesh Kokar, Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center. The trend has been part and parcel of the national economy for the last 30 or 40 years. I bet you can trace it right back to Nixon taking us off the gold standard, and that's when the deficit started to explode, because now you can promise everybody everything and print up the money for the shortfall, increasing the money supply, therefore devaluing the currency and creating a national debt that exists only on paper, and that's why people are afraid of Trump, because he's saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't pay that all back to a bunch of counterfeiting scumbags.
Yeah. And people have a problem with that.
I don't know, kind of a crazy concept. I'm really kind of comfortable with the idea of spending our way out of debt.
You like that?
I think that's the way to go. I mean, that's what we've been doing for decades, right? So why would we?
Don't say.
But
why would we change now?
But why does it work up there, but we as individuals can't spend our way out of debt?
Well, all you have to do is go get a high-grade printer and some paper.
Ah. Got it.
And a good graphics program, and you're set.
Yeah, you put your green eye shade on, you go down with your little sleeve holders and down to the basement, and you start cranking the money out.
Chugging away.
And everything will be fine, because that's how you create real wealth.
It's not counterfeiting, because I'm not creating currency, I'm creating debt, and it's an IOU.
And it's only counterfeiting if it's illegal.
That's right.
If you do it, you go to Folsom or Sing Sing, take a remedial license plate.
Well, I'm going to print mine with like creation. Mickey Mouse on it and say, you know, IOU from the Bank of Red, and we'll put some pretty colors
but
on it
I
in
go,
a hologram. You'll take that from me, right?
Well, they have those. You can go down to Disneyland and get them.
If I get a job for the government, no matter what the job is, and then I turn
Bear
on
bucks.
My print, can I turn on the press then and be okay?
And okay, I got to read this line. In many ways, the vanishing middle reflects the patchiness of the recovery.
What?
I just want to grab this guy by the freaking throat and say, "What are you talking about, you moron?" Not all Americans have rebounded from the Great Recession. Well, first it was a blip. Now we've got the Great Recession. When does it turn into a global, worldwide conundrum depression that everybody gets totally impoverished in, you know?
I don't know. It's kind of patchy.
Oh, what?
A little cloudy. Just
there's a little passiness.
Yeah, know. Just a little cloudy today.
Cloudy with meatballs.
Yeah.
Okay. And because these guys are meatheads, I should say. Cloudy with meatheads. Okay. And so while the national jobless rate stands at 5%, does anybody with a freaking brain in their head believe that? Millions of Americans have simply dropped out of the workforce and aren't being counted. So it's not, what?
But that's only 5%.
Yeah, so 94 million guys drop out of the workforce, but we've only got 5% unemployment.
Isn't that
because
like a third of the total population of this country?
You believe anything we say.
These are not the jobs you're looking for.
Go back to the ETP card.
Yes.
Don't
open your mailbox.
Opinions.
Open your mailbox. It'll be fine.
The government will take care of you.
There we go.
The check's in the mail.
Deep sighs and moods of depression.
I'm not going to say the third
sunshine,
one. Yeah, so we got about a minute left, guys. Anything anybody's got to spew before we get off the air here?
No.
No?
Well, let's end on a good note. Memorial Day's coming.
It is. Remember what it's for.
Remember what it's for. We will be having services out at the cemetery at starting at 5:55 p.m.
Take your kids.
Take your kids. Take your grandkids. Show them what it's all about. Give them a little bit of history lesson. So, again, that's May 30th.
I think the music's going to come on, and then I have to say what I have to say, what I always have to say.
And...
You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty over security.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Police say that a suspicious device found at the soccer stadium in Manchester, England was not viable but was incredibly lifelike. The discovery prompted the evacuation of Old Trafford Stadium and the cancellation of today's match. The device was destroyed by military bomb disposal experts. Did weather help cause a deadly bus crash near Laredo, Texas? That's what investigators are trying to find out.
I won't confirm that the weather was a factor until we get more facts from the investigation, but it was raining.
State Trooper Conrad Hine, 8 people died when the bus downpour casino rolled over. 44 people were hurt. Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's concerned about Donald Trump's apparent unwillingness to surround himself with knowledgeable advisors.
He seems to think that he has all the answers and that he doesn't need any advice from staff or anybody else. And that he...